93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is Thursday. It's the first day of March. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, two school districts in Gloucester County are closed today because of a threat that was sent to a staff member, officials say. Both Franklin Township School District and Delsey Regional School District are closed for the day. The Franklin Township Police Department says they are investigating a threatening email that was sent to a staff member of the Franklin Township School District overnight. Police say they are working to identify the sender. A message on the Delsey Regional High School's Facebook page reads, due to a threatening email directed at the Franklin Township School District, which was received overnight, and because our proximity to those schools in an abundance of caution, the Delsey Regional School District will be closed Thursday, March 1st. Police are investigating the matter, and more information will be available as soon as they figure out exactly what's going on and who sent it.
Don't you believe that in this time of heightened sensitivity with high schools and schools in general?
Yeah.
That punishment for something like this is going to be even more severe. Yeah. Why even? Number one, it's a stupid idea.
Yeah.
But number two, right now you should know better that it is. Nobody's playing around.
Yeah. And quite possibly this person wasn't playing around who proposed.
Yeah,
this,
you know, so, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
So. Which is why both schools are closed. You can't take a chance.
Yep, agreed.
Well, you know what, though? The trick is to remember as we move away from this, and hopefully there's more schools come into line and there's more preventative measures that take place, that it'd be the norm to be this responsive to something like this and take them to err on the side of caution.
Yeah, sure. Well, and of course, I have another story involving something at a school, but an armed high school teacher in Georgia barricaded himself alone inside his classroom on Wednesday and fired a gunshot when the principal tried to force open the door, but no one was seriously injured. Police said after the instructor was arrested, the incident unfolded as schools around the country remain on edge from the shooting rampage that happened in Parkland, Florida. Where 17 students and educators were killed. In response to that massacre, allegedly carried out by a former student, U.S. President Donald Trump said teachers should be allowed to carry concealed firearms on school campuses. The incident at Dalton High School, about 90 miles north of Atlanta, began when a group of students tried to enter a classroom and found that their teacher would not let them in. When the principal arrived and tried to open the door with a key, a single gunshot was heard from inside the room, prompting a security lockdown and evacuation of the school as police were notified and the school's resource officer was summoned. Responding to reports of gunfire at the school, officers from the Dalton Police Department found the teacher holed up inside the classroom. He was taken into custody about 30 to 45 minutes later. The suspect was identified as 53-year-old Jesse Randall Davidson, a social studies teacher at the school, who police said also serves as the play-by-play announcer for the Dalton High School football team. Only one minor was injured on Wednesday, and that was a girl who hurt her ankle while fleeing in the pandemonium. It wasn't immediately clear whether any of the 2,000 students that attended the school had previously been in the classroom with the teacher while he was armed. The weapon involved was a handgun. Bensalem police have released photos of two people installing a skimming device at an ATM. These skimming devices have been discovered at several locations in the area. Police said that they are not only looking for the suspects, but for victims as well. The pair was caught on camera installing a device at the BB&T Bank ATM on Bristol Road on January 9th. The bank discovered that the machine had been tampered with and that the skimming device was then found on the ATM. Across our area, the crime of card skimming is growing. In January, Lower Potts Grove police said a store employee at an Aldi discovered a skimming device at the cash register this fall.
When I now go to an ATM, it looks like I'm giving it a handy. I'm talking about it so hard just to see if that device is, I can jostle it or move it. I'm so paranoid now because of all these skimming devices.
So is that all? I mean, I know that they said, like, make sure it looks like it's secure and it's not wobbly.
Yeah,
or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that all you look for? Like, what else do you look for?
The guys who are really good at it can put it right in there. And, if they want to do it, they're going to do it. But the ones who aren't that good at it, it'll jostle a little bit.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like shaking the machine every time I go. So last year, at least 20 skimmers were found in Philadelphia and even more in the suburbs. Richard Goldberg, the economic crime chief in the U.S. Attorney's Office, says the technology criminals are using is evolving. Every time the financial institution comes up with a way to make tampering more apparent, bad guys generally find a way around it. Banks and companies with ATMs are starting to monitor the machines in real time. Goldberg suggests using machines that are relatively high traffic areas and check your bank statements all of the time, he says. Bensalem police are asking anyone that thinks that they may have been a victim to call them. All right, in sports this morning.
Yeah!
Mikal Bridges scored 23 points, and number 4 Villanova avoided consecutive losses for the first time since the 2013 season with a 69-68 overtime win over Seton Hall last night in Newark, New Jersey. The Wildcats, who were 4-3 in their last 7 games, never trailed in the overtime and improved to 26-4 on the season. They host Georgetown on Saturday afternoon in a regular season finale before the Big East and NCAA tournaments begin. The Flyers, who had 2 days off, are back in action tonight with a game at home against the Carolina Hurricanes. A win tonight would put them back in first place and ahead of the Washington Capitals, who are 1 point ahead of the Flyers, but don't play until Saturday. Game time tonight against the Hurricanes is set for 7 o'clock. The Sixers signed forward Ersan Ilyasova from Turkey after he was waived by the Atlanta Hawks. He played 53 games for the Sixers last season before he was traded to Atlanta at last year's deadline. Ilyasova averaged nearly 11 points and 5.5 rebounds in 46 games this season for Atlanta. He is 4th in the NBA with 22 charges drawn after leading the league with 36 last season. The Sixers are in Cleveland tonight to play LeBron James and the Cavaliers. Tip-off for the nationally televised game is set for 8 o'clock, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much. I don't know how you yell that loud this early.
You know what? Sometimes I have it and sometimes I don't, man. Yeah,
you got it today.
Today, man. I got it.
All right, welcome to Thursday, friends. It is 18 minutes after 6 o'clock and first day of March. You know what that means? We have a new calendar, girl.
Oh!
We have a new month. We ended, now February was the lovely Emmy. We had her in just a few days ago, actually, and we'll probably have our next gala. We try to do that every month for the hottie cam. And the month of March, as we now turn our calendar over, belongs to Anna.
Anna.
Lovely Anna. Remember, we shot this at Valley Forge Casino Resort, and this she was actually on the casino floor. I know right where this is right by, like, the High Rollers area.
Oh, I would imagine, yeah.
She looks very, very lovely in her. The main picture is a two-piece, and the smaller, the inset is like a... Would you call that lingerie, Kathy? Is that a...
The bottom one, yeah.
I would say it's a very exotic look about her.
Look about her.
I like it.
So, welcome to the month of March, Anna, and you get 31 days of her, so enjoy, if you will. We have some stuff that's going to be taking place on the program this morning. We have an announcement that we're going to get to around 7 o'clock. This is something unprecedented. It's not an annual Preston and Steve event. It's something brand new that we're going to do. And something we're taking out for a spin.
Something actually we've talked about over the years, time and time again, and we're finally doing it.
Yeah, so we'll let you know what that is coming up around 7 o'clock. We have several in-studio guests today. Our buddy Vysik Ahema is stopping by from NBC 10.
He's great.
Yes, he's looking for foster parents, urgently needed for children and youth in the area. And they have a phone bank that's taking place, so he's going to tell us about that. And we'll just catch up with Vi and see how he's doing and... And he's always great to talk
to. I can't imagine at some point there won't be a Vysik Ahema Civic Center in Tonga.
There's got to be. Right?
Right.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest emissaries for that island nation. Did you see the shirtless Tongan guy?
Oh, that guy's getting work now.
At the Olympics.
Yeah.
It was like his second Olympics, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the flag carrier, and he was all greased up and shirtless.
Really
greased
up.
It was like 20 degrees while he was walking out in that thing.
But yeah.
All right, so Vi is on this morning. We have Tom Green, who we haven't talked to in quite some time. I love Tom Green.
He's gonna be great.
Helium Comedy Club this weekend. And then at the other place over at Punchline, Chris Porter will be performing, and he's going to be stopping by this morning. So we have several people to spend some time with.
Yucks are plenty, as they say.
And we're getting set for the Cardboard Classic. We'll get an update on the weather forecast as of now. And we also we have some cool stuff that's going to be available that I just found out about. So we'll let everybody kind of wake up a bit, and then I'll dive into some of the things you can get. Yeah, I'm looking at some products that that Nick has. It's very, very cool.
Don't you feel like with the weather and everything, you feel like the guys watching the Normandy weather, you know, before the invasion?
Yes. Yeah. It's got to be just right.
It's
got to
be just right.
And as we get ready to take a break and come back from the entertainment stuff, am I giving one of these away now?
Yeah, why not, man?
All right, I got a 4-pack of tickets for the Progressive Insurance Atlantic City Boat Show.
Yeah!
That's going on now through March 4th, and that is at the Atlantic City Convention Center. And I'll take number 9, caller 9, 215-263-WMMR. You can see on board 500 boats and browse over 250 booths of marine accessories, engines, electronics, and more. Tickets and details at acboatshow.com. So give us a call if you're interested. We can give you a 4-pack of those tickets. We'll be back in just a second. We're going to have a good time today. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I want to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast and hosting our 12th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. It's this Friday, JFBB, where the snow comes first. Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers. Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so I'm going to ask a stupid question, and we're going to see if you can call in and get the answer. And 4-pack of tickets for the Greater Philadelphia Boat Show is what we're going to be giving away. This one, courtesy of Marissa Magnata.
Ah.
I like this one. In the movie Almost Famous, what is Penny Lane's name in the real world? Was a real name? 215-263-WMMR. Penny Lane reveals her real name in the movie Almost Famous. What is it? Not the actress's name, but that character's name. 215-263-WMMR.
I believe it's only said once.
Yeah. Thursday, March 1st is the date today, and it is Justin Bieber's birthday.
Whoa,
today.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber is 24 years old. Are he and Selena Gomez together?
A Preston,
when did this happen?
All is right with the world. Well, you know, she went through that whole thing. She had a kidney transplant.
Yeah.
And he's sort of born again now.
I don't want her with Justin Bieber.
I know. No, I know, no. But you can't fight love.
I guess not.
You know, because being alone is whack.
Yeah, you do.
So he started, he was a YouTube sensation, right?
Yeah, I think.
And then
he was.
Who was it? Who signed him?
Usher.
Usher.
Yeah, you're right.
Usher, I believe Usher and Justin Timberlake were fighting over getting him signed.
I mean, as far as pop music goes, he's come out with some pretty good songs. You know, he's definitely a talented guy.
He's just
a tool from time to time.
And the world's worst tattoos.
Yeah.
It almost looks like he went to, like, Spencer's into the poster section and picked out 10 he wanted tattooed on him.
Yep. I went and saw him a couple years ago.
Really?
I went to the Justin Bieber show. It was at the Wells Fargo Center, and I went with some friends who really wanted to go. It was entertaining. He's not quite on the level of Justin Timberlake, you know, but he's a talented kid.
Yeah, he can not only sing, but he can play instruments and dance and do the whole deal. So, anyhow.
I think once he broke up his friendship with Lil Zah, I think things got better.
He's 24 today. It's also Kesha's birthday today.
Kesha. Oh.
Yeah, the singer. She's 31. She had to cancel. I think she had a tour, and I forgot what happened.
Oh.
Yeah, that's me. She doesn't quite do this type of voice thing anymore. She's getting a little bit more.
It's a little annoying.
Straight ahead now.
Nicki Minaj does that as well.
Yeah, so Kesha is 31 today. And, you know, she's right on par with another birthday singer today. It's Roger Daltrey.
Roger!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. There's a guy. So my son Carter likes, he loves Queen and he loves the Beatles. He's really into classic rock, you know, big time stadium bands. And I'm like, buddy, I got a band for you called The Who, and I'd like to open you up to the world. And I've said they got two great singers in this band that you're really going to like.
Is he sampling yet?
Just a little bit.
All right.
But he's really deep into Queen.
You know
what?
This thing. Because we were talking yesterday about when you introduce somebody to music that you like, how you go about it. The documentary, The Kids Are All Right, is kind of a good.
Okay.
It's kind of a good.
The long
sampling. Yeah.
Into it. I think I've. You know, Won't Get Fooled Again. I play that for him and Bob O'Reilly. I'm like, just check this out, man. So, Roger is 74 years old today and he's taking out on tour. He's going to do Tommy with orchestras.
Yes.
He's going to be at The Man with the Philadelphia Orchestra, I believe. I'm not sure if the Pops or if it's the Philadelphia Orchestra, but that's coming up this summer, which should be pretty cool.
Tommy Want Wingy.
Yeah, Tommy Want Wingy.
That's right.
I mean,
Tommy Want Wingy.
So,
Tommy Want Wingy.
Right.
You didn't want wingies. You didn't need wingies. You never heard of them. Not a word of them.
Oh, my God.
You think these wings are going to be tasty?
June 19th at the Man with the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia.
I'm the gypsy, the wingy queen, and we've got big pants to sell.
So, Roger Daltrey.
That's him. That's Bob O'Reilly.
Roger Daltrey is awesome. What a performer, man. When is that show, Nick?
June 19th.
June 19th. Okay, at the Man. He's 74 today. Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh.
Most recently in Black Panther.
That's a little indie film.
No, it's just a little one, right? She won an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave, the first Kenyan actress to ever do that. And, of course, she was in Star Wars Force Awakens, Star Wars The Last Jedi, The Jungle Book. She's a force to be reckoned with.
Doing a whole bunch of genre stuff, but that 12 Years a Slave, man. Holy crap. Her character.
Oh, my God.
It was hard to watch.
It was incredibly hard to watch.
Yeah. The scene where the wife is...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So she's 35 today. Javier Bardem, another great actor, Oscar winner as well, 49 years old. No Country for Old Men, Skyfall.
Did you ever see No Country for Old Men?
I did not.
He is a wild character in that.
I saw part of it, and I was like... And I know it's a great movie, but I just wasn't in the mood for that kind of movie when it came on. And I'm like, I'm not feeling that.
I'll make you feel better. It's a good movie.
Okay.
It's not. I didn't think it was great. It's good. He is a compelling lunatic, though.
Yeah.
He won the Oscar for that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching the scene where the guy asks him, hey, how's your day? Where are you going? He's like, and he just turns on him. Why would you ask me that?
He's so good. He got a Craftsman nail gun endorsement out of it as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
So it's slow.
He's 49 today.
That movie.
Tim Daly of Wings fame, Private Practice as well. He is 62 years old.
Is he on Madam President as well? Or what is that?
I don't know.
What's that show with T. Leone?
Madam Secretary?
Madam Secretary.
About. Yeah. Don't know. Not really sure.
And honestly, I think we all don't care.
Is he, Nick?
He is. Okay. He plays, he's Henry McWard.
Oh, my God.
Remember?
One of the iconic characters from Madden Secretary.
He's 62. The great Ron Howard.
Happy days. It's so funny. I mean, what has that guy done after Happy Days? And I think Happy Days when I hear that name.
He has created some of the greatest movies of all time. Started as Opie. Moved on to Happy Days, has had a long career. I don't know, Preston, did you see the ads for his master class in directing?
I have seen the ads, yes.
I'm like half tempted to just get that. No, I'm not going to be a film director, just to see his take on it.
How he operates.
Yeah.
Casey, I always think of an SNL bit with Eddie Murphy, where he kept calling him Opie Cunningham.
Yeah, little Opie Cunningham.
Opie Cunningham is a selfish bastard.
So Splash, Cocoon, A Beautiful Mind, The Da Vinci Code, Frost Nixon, whole bunch of great movies.
Happy Days.
He seems like an incredibly nice guy.
Yeah, he's 64
He's doing
today.
Solo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The great Catherine Bach.
Oh, yes.
Who gave us Daisy Dukes from the Dukes of Hazzard. In her day, she was stunningly beautiful.
This is what she's like now.
Dude.
You have more sriracha.
She's a little bigger.
Well, she's 64 today. She was a stunner in her day. Dirk Benedict.
Oh, my God.
Starbuck.
Yeah.
A Battlestar Galactica in face on the A-Team.
Were you a fan of the original Battlestar Galactica?
I was obsessed with the original Battlestar Galactica. I was probably in like fourth or fifth grade, so it was right up my alley.
Have you binged all that yet, the new one, the redo?
No, I'll have to go back and do it.
One of the greatest TV shows ever.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
And I've had a few people tell me that. I just haven't been able to dive into it. But I loved Battlestar Galactica. And I was like an okay fan of the A-Team, which is a gigantic
hit,
obviously. And you never know, dude, man. Every other year, we have that A-Team van in the cardboard classic.
Yes.
And people dress up. There's a Mr. T and there's a face and all the crew.
At the car show. They always had the A-Team. Yeah. The A-Team van.
Mike Birbiglia for years drove around in an A-Team van. That was his...
Seriously?
That was his regular mode of transportation when he was driving across the country as a traveling comedian. Yes.
Could you see him getting out of that? I mean, right? Mike's just your white bread.
Right, yeah.
It was here in our parking lot.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
Listen, he has come a long way. I honestly wonder, he probably still has it.
Okay. Right?
Well, why would you get rid of something like that? Yeah. He's obviously a big enough fan.
So he is, Dirk Benedict is 73. And the last birthday, the great Harry Belafonte is turning 91 years Whoa. Old today.
Oh, I got to do this instead.
So much great music. These days, he always seems very pissed off. All this music was so pleasant and, you know, and he's always seems to be upset these days. Listen to his own music.
I've never, where do you read?
He's a bit of an actor.
Anything about Harry Belafonte.
Do any research on him and you'll see he's a big activist.
I don't spend any time doing research on Mr. Belafonte, but I like his music an awful lot. He is 91 years old today. All right, that's the last of the birthdays, so that means that we can go and get an answer to the stupid question. So, in Almost Famous, what is Penny Lane's real name? 215-263-WMMR. And I'm going to go to, let's try Steve B. Hi, Steve, you're on the line.
Yes, Saturday morning.
What's that?
Yes, Saturday morning.
He said yes.
Okay.
Good morning.
Oh, I thought he said Saturday morning.
No, he was just being nice.
Oh, that's very nice. I wish it was Saturday morning.
Yeah.
But Steve, do me a favor and tell me the name of the real name of Penny Lane in Almost Famous.
Betty Trumbull.
Betty Trumbull.
No, Penny.
That is incorrect. I am so sorry. You know, but have a great Saturday morning. I'll go next to Ken. Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? Ken, what's the name of Penny Lane's character?
Her mother always told her to marry up. That's why she called her Lady.
Yeah.
Lady Goodman.
Lady Goodman.
Lady Goodman. I was way off. I had Gladys Pajumic.
No, that's incorrect. Yeah. And Ken got it right, so we are going to give him a 4-pack of tickets for the Greater Philadelphia Boat Show. And you can find your summer fling at the Greater Philadelphia Boat Show, March 9th through the 11th at the Expo Center in Oaks. And details at phillyboatshow.com. Is this this is the clip?
She named you Lady?
Lady Goodman.
And that's it. There you go. Straight from the movie.
So adorable in that movie.
She is, absolutely. All right, let's dive into some of the entertainment stories that I have for you this morning. Actress Evan Rachel Wood shared two horrific stories before Congress during a hearing for the sexual assault survivors bill. She recalled one instance of being raped and another of being tortured with a 5-minute statement before the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, Homeland Security Investigations.
She was basically kidnapped, like held against her will.
She said, while I was tied up and being beaten and told unspeakable things, I truly felt like I could die. Not just because my abuser said to me, I could kill you right now, but because in that moment I felt like I left my body and I was too afraid to run. The 30-year-old explains that the experience resulted in years of PTSD and addiction. She said, I thought that I was the only human who experienced this, and I carried so much guilt and confusion about my response to the abuse. I accepted my powerlessness, and I felt I deserved it somehow.
Jeez.
Yeah, right? At one point, she said that she considered suicide. She said, I struggled with self-harm to the point of two suicide attempts, which landed me in a psychiatric hospital for a short period of time. This was, however, a turning point in my life when I started seeking professional help to deal with my trauma and mental stress. You know, some people, you can just tell that something has happened in their life.
I always thought that with her.
Something you can. Sometimes that pain that whatever that was that happened. You know, people wear it and you don't know exactly what it is, but you can tell.
But it's it seems gone now with seeing her on Westworld and the promoting for that show. She seemed to be in a better place.
Wood and other women are sharing their stories in a bid to push through the sexual assault survivors bill in all 50 states. In 2016, it passed in 9 states. In 2017, Wood had explained in a YouTube video that she had not named her alleged perpetrators out of fear. She first shared her story of rape and torture in 2016. She said, my perpetrators were very powerful, very rich, very entitled, very narcissistic white men. I haven't named my abusers for a number of reasons. One, I'm one person against some very powerful people. Two, money and time. And re-traumatizing yourself to go after the person that assaulted you takes quite a toll, she said in the video. So,
man,
whoever it is, I'm curious as to what industry they're in, because if they're rich and they're powerful and they...
Might be the entertainment industry.
Captured and tortured her? That's just crazy, man. So,
because she was in a movie when she was a young teenager, that movie 13.
Yeah, which was a pretty messed up movie.
Yeah, too. Very messed up.
Yeah. All right, I'll go heavy and light and mix it up a little bit. But you touched on this yesterday in the trash, Steve. But People love their pets, and if money were no object, maybe you would clone your dog. Well, Barbara Streisand has done just that. She cloned her beloved 14-year-old Cotton de Tulare dog named Samantha.
Didn't work out well.
After her death in 2017, and now has two new pups. She told Variety they have different personalities. I'm waiting for them to get older so I can see if they have her brown eyes and her seriousness.
She wants to see if these dogs can dance as well as her original dog could dance. There were traits, apparently, that she really loved in that dog that she wanted to clone. But cloning an animal doesn't guarantee you're going to get, you know, this isn't like you're creating a facsimile.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what the... what the research is on cloning and how they, if they're similar or not.
Nah,
I don't know.
You know, they're saying the likelihood is not almost non-existent.
The dogs were created using cells from the mouth and stomach of Samantha. So she went for it. And
That's weird.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Did she go for that?
Not everybody is thrilled that Kim Kardashian has landed her seventh cover for Vogue. The 37-year-old mogul unveiled a cover for Vogue India on Instagram, sparking a backlash from readers who claimed that they wanted to see a person of South Asian descent. She is of Armenian descent.
We'll give her a little time. She'll do a little bit more plastic surgery. She'll look Asian.
Vogue India also got blowback when it featured Kendall Jenner on its May 2017 cover. The pub hastily released a statement at the time saying in the last 10 years, Vogue India has only had 12 international covers, including Kendall Jenner 2017. Therefore, statistically, 90% of our covers are Indian, and we are proud of that. India has given the world so many beautiful faces to admire. After all, we are Vogue, an international brand, and we want to give the love back by featuring some of the best international celebrities on covers occasionally.
Bet you they never put Gandhi on the cover.
Meanwhile, inside, Kardashian dishes on her family's best and worst qualities. On the good, she said, my brother's sense of humor, Kendall's sweetness, Khloe's I don't give an F attitude, Kourtney's savviness around finances, Kylie's ability to just go for it and not care what other people's opinions are.
He just goes for it.
And my mom's nurturing, she said. Aside from mom Chris, who she claims is perfect, the bad, she said, maybe Kourtney's stubbornness and Khloe's getting too sensitive.
What the hell did you just say? You think I'm sensitive, bitch? What the hell's going on in your backyard, you whore?
And she said,
don't you dare call me sensitive again.
She said, I would take
a pregnant bear mother.
She said, I would take away Kendall's anxiety, Kylie's I don't care, I know what I'm doing thing, and probably my brother's moodiness.
Oh, Rob Kardashian gets moody, does he?
So these are the good and the bad of the family.
I thought she's supposedly training him and trying to get him to lose weight.
Oh, okay.
You know, because she has that Revenge Body show.
Khloe?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
is that a workout show? What is that? I don't know.
I think it's like a makeover show. Okay. Like an extreme makeover.
Okay. Well, yeah, she ought to get him on board for sure.
That must make him the entire show all the time.
Yeah.
He needs the help.
For the first time on Wednesday, Meghan Markle appeared in public at the Royal Foundation with Prince Harry, Prince William, and Kate Middleton to answer questions about her role in the royal family and the world at large.
Do you think when Meghan Markle showed up like at Buckingham Palace, I'd be like, Jesus Christ, did you see this? Oh, dear Lord.
She even touched on the...
my gosh! Holy F!
Do yourself a favor and look out the front door. Holy Christ. If you need me, I'll be in my chambers with a bit of salve.
She is pretty hot. She even touched on the Time's Up and the Me Too movement. She said, I think right now in the climate we're seeing with so many campaigns with Me Too and Time's Up, there's no better time than to really continue to shine a light on women feeling empowered and people really helping to support them, men included, in that.
But with the royals, it's we too.
She also pointed out that women have a strong voice and she wants to do what she can to help them out.
She has a good smile, don't you think? Like a very warm smile?
Yeah, they both do. Her and
Kate Middleton.
Yeah, they have beautiful smiles.
I was going to say Harry.
Yeah, Harry has.
Harry does have a great smile, right,
Charles? It's so good to see you. No, they're both.
Since they were all four together, I was talking about the ladies.
Oh, but the women, right? Yeah, me too.
She said, "I hear a lot of people saying when speaking about girls' empowerment, finding and knowing their worth, and women's empowerment as well. You'll hear often people say, well, you're helping women find their voices.'" She explained on stage, "I fundamentally disagree with that because women don't need to find a voice; they have a voice. They need to feel empowered to use it.
Shut up.
people and people need to be encouraged to listen.
I'm sorry, you're talking too much now.
Harry addressed how the foursome works together and admitted there are occasional bumps in the road. He said, we have different opinions, and they work really well together. Adding,
Harry!
What's that?
That's Harry.
Harry!
What's that from Dumb and Dumber, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Harry!
I can't even tell.
Yeah, I can't even make that.
Yes, you can.
We need a better hair.
It sounds like a squeak.
Yeah.
Hey,
well, his hands
well, maybe
are
cold. It's during passion.
Yes.
That's right. He has two pairs of gloves on.
Anyhow.
We're in the Rockies.
Harry said, working as family does have its challenges. Of course it does. I think the fact that everybody is laughing shows you they know exactly what it's like. But we are stuck together for the rest of our lives.
I don't know what Harry sounds like. I don't know if I've ever really
he sounds British. There, you can definitely detect a British accent.
Just get that accent.
By the way, the...
Scraping the king, like potential king stuff.
The royal foursome will get a lot together in this after the May 19th wedding of Harry and Markle.
Do you think when they hang out and they get a little loose, the little swapping might take place?
Oh, my God.
I've got an idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. I don't think that's going to...
You don't think that happens?
No, I'm going to go on.
Have you been to France? Have you ever done an Eiffel Tower?
Hey, director Jennifer Lee hinted that Elsa may get a girlfriend in Frozen 2.
What?
Yeah, she said...
That's why it's called Frozen 2 Cold Cooter.
She said, where we're going with it, we have tons of conversations about it, and we're really conscientious about these things.
Listen, I can help warm that thing up.
She said
you let Cold Cooter go.
She said the sequel is expected in 2019.
I consider that a personal achievement that Kathy likes Cold Cooter.
Yeah, the shocking part is that you didn't.
I was still laughing, and the presser just kept going. I'm like, nobody really said anything about
For Kathy
that.
Romano to enjoy Cold Cooter, I think I'm just going to sit out the rest of the show.
It's inventive.
Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel have signed on to reprise the roles of Anna and Elsa in Frozen 2.
So. They always say this stuff, but they never follow it. This is the Spider-Man where he's going to be gay.
Yeah,
but they never do it.
There's a show, I forget the name of it, but Jace is watching it, and one of the kids in the show has dads. And two dads, and he...
It's a Disney show, isn't it?
I can't remember. It's a cartoon. Yeah. I can't remember...
oh, yeah?
Crazy Family or, like, Loud Family or something like that. And
we watched a show called My Two Dads.
Yeah.
But it's just surprised. He just watches it. Like, he didn't... It was just normal. Like, this one kid has two dads. This other kid has a mom and a dad. And it was just...
Mommy, did you hear Elsa's a lesbian?
Yeah, that'll be next.
It's just totally the other way. It has no sense of it. It's totally fine. Elsa's a lesbian?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
It's on Nickelodeon.
The Loud House?
Yes, that's it.
There you go.
No kidding. I have
We're gay!
I have not
and
seen
And loud!
And they're pretty... One of the dads is pretty feminine, and they... one of the episodes, or at least the one that I watched, they go on a skiing trip, and the dads are very overprotective and nervous that the kids are going to get hurt. And,
wow, interesting.
The voice of one of them is Wayne Brady, and then the voice of the other is Michael McDonald, the singer?
No. I'm in love with a dude. I turn around and he goes to town on me. It feels so good.
That's not what they do in the show.
Are
you sure it's the Michael McDonald?
Nope.
Okay.
I got distracted by the singing.
We're just two dudes and we're getting it on.
Penis. Penis.
I'm not working my way through. Obviously, we're approaching it with sensitivity.
Of course we are.
And compassion.
I think it's cool.
We are a progressive show, obviously, not even remotely having fun.
Very different Michael McDonald.
Oh, it's the one from Mad TV.
There was an actor, Steve, you'd recognize
him. He's excellent. He's very funny.
Yeah, he's a great actor, and he plays the other gay dad.
The one from...
The Doobies.
The Doobie Brothers. Right. Though I've dabbled occasionally, and then, I like some dudes.
I like your Michael McDonald, Steve.
I'm a fan of man junk, like it on my head. They call it a knife. Well, they call it a Roman helmet.
Michael McDonald isn't singing this song.
Oh, God
this
damn
is,
it.
This is Tom Johnston.
Yes, Tom Johnston.
There you there go.
That's thank it. You that's, very much.
That's Michael McDonald.
You don't know me because I'm your one. All the lyrics sound like the others.
So it's called, what's it called, Loud House?
Well, that's yeah. Michael yes. McDonald, right? Not, and this is Michael McDonald?
You might
or
be right.
Are they both? Mick.
Both McDonald.
Both McDonald. I don't know what animal you just
I
said.
Don't know.
I don't know what neither noise. I don't know what noise to make.
And the hair goes.
He does the Michael McDonald scene say.
Okay, so Michael McDonald.
The Loud House.
The Loud House.
The Loud House.
Yeah, there you go.
And you were just singing, oh, McDonald gives me a reason to play this.
That was me from 2 days ago. Do I have anything else?
You do. You have so much more.
Oh, some people, by the way, are pointing out that Harry clip that we have is from True Lies, not from Dumb and Dumber.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's when he is strangling him in the park, and his hands are frozen, but yet Jim Carrey's wearing...
Harry! Your hands are freezing! Your hands are freezing!
He's wearing... He just reveals to him that he's been wearing two pairs of gloves.
Well,
we are.
Okay. All right.
I can find the whole clip.
Okay. Yeah. What else do we have here? Okay.
All right.
Jeff Franklin, the creator...
You don't get news like this anywhere else.
...and showrunner for Fuller House and the creator of the original Full House has been fired from Warner Brothers.
Why? What happened?
And...
What happened to the skeleton man who created Full House?
I don't know why you're still here.
Don't even question.
Right. It was breakfast.
Franklin was accused of being verbally abusive to staff members...
Get out of here, you dick!
And comments about his sex life.
I'm gay.
Warner Brothers said, we are not renewing Jeff Franklin's production deal, and he will no longer be working on Fuller House. It's been renewed for a fourth season, by the way.
Okay.
It is a dynamo for Netflix.
Yeah, it's doing really, really well.
Okay, I've seen this guy before. He's the picture's up on the screen here.
He's gone.
He must be a showrunner for a number of other shows.
On elevator news yesterday, I was leaving the building, and they had a stat up in the elevator that said that Netflix this year is going to spend something like $8 billion on original content.
Whoa!
And then the stat below that said... Did you see this?
Steve? No, but I think okay. I know where you're going.
That it said it was going to have 700 original new programs. Now, does that mean send 700 original
I think for the year,
individual programs?
It could be 700 even specials.
Okay, yeah. So like comedy specials
comedy
and
specials.
Stuff.
I think that would probably figure
but still,
out 700 series.
But that 700 number
I know.
Is astronomically large,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes. Well, especially... When we remember back, and there are probably people now who are only vaguely familiar with the fact that Netflix was a red envelope you got in the mail
yeah.
with DVDs in it, and you would send them back.
Yeah.
And now you can literally live on Netflix around the clock watching stuff and not go anywhere near through all the content they have. It's crazy.
It's a powerhouse. Hang on a second. Here's that clip. Casey found the whole thing.
Hey! Your hands are freezing! Hey, come on!
All right, so that's definitely from Dumb and Dumber.
Hey!
All right. I missed that, Jim Carrey.
Stan Lee has shared the sad news that he is battling pneumonia. The 95-year-old living legend tells TMZ that he seems to be getting better.
Is that a superhero?
He added to fans, no.
Oh.
He added to fans, I miss your enthusiasm. I miss all your notes, all your photos and emails, and I want you to know that I still love you all. So at 95, pneumonia can be the end of you.
It can be an end of the of life thing. We hope that's not the case.
Absolutely.
I'm sure he has incredible medical care. But also during this time, his situation, he's being people around him investigated for... pilfering money from him.
Oh, wow.
You know,
taking advantage of
it. I've heard as much as $1.8 million.
By the way, the screening of Black Panther that I went to, he got a nice round of applause when he came on, on camera, which was, or on screen, which was really, really cool. All right, one last story. 22-year-old Ireland Baldwin is following in her mother Kim Basinger's footsteps by posing nude for Pita. The phrase,
man, she loved that bread.
I'd rather go naked than wear fur. Not, no, not P-I-T-A, P-E-T-A.
Tell you what, cheering my cooter for that Pita.
Your cold cooter?
My cold cooter.
That's twice. Yeah, three times, Kathy said. Cold cooter this morning.
Well, you know what? That would be a cool superhero as well. And not that I you know, obviously in this age of sexual awareness and so on and so forth, Kathy, but you, that could be your cold cooter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a freezing freeze spray comes out.
Yeah. Freeze ray. Freezing spray.
Oh, yeah. I'm a squirter.
Cold
not
squirter.
The kind you want, though.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say you can make a sled for the Cardboard Classic by tomorrow, but that's...
Like Frozone!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so anyhow, the phrase, I'd rather go naked than wear fur, covers her private areas in the ad. In an accompanying video, Alec Baldwin's daughter explains that posing nude for the animal rights organization has been a goal of hers since childhood. She said, I saw the images from when my mom shot this campaign, so it's something that I've aspired to do. She said, since I was a little girl, I wanted to do something for PETA.
I've always aspired to do this.
I said aspired.
I know. All right. Take a look at the person. She is pretty tatted up.
Yeah. Mm. She looks nice, too. Let's do the clips. Here we go. So, in the movie Mute, a silent bartender goes up against his city's gangsters in an effort to find out what happened to his missing partner. In this clip, Paul Rudd lays down the tone of the film. Here we go.
Justin Theroux and I play a couple of army soldiers AWOL in Berlin in the future. It's a sci-fi noir. It's like Casablanca in a Blade Runner setting.
Yeah!
Is this for a series? It's on Netflix now.
It's on Netflix now?
Yeah, it's a movie.
But is it a comedy or?
I have no idea. I know everything that you know from that clip.
How does it end, Preston?
What's the plot line?
Isn't that? We just talked about this. These movies that, here's the description, it's on now.
Yeah, and they have, and some of them have A-list celebrities in them.
Like, and major, the Will Smith movie, the science fiction, that's like Alienation, I think the name of it. Right. Right. I mean, that's...
It just popped up out of nowhere, and it's like, yeah, you can go watch it right now.
It's a multi-million-dollar movie.
You gotta be kidding me. That and the Cloverfield sequel, and it's awesome, actually. All right, let's do the next clip here.
Thick.
Cowper's here now.
Good to see you.
The second half Gotham Season 4 will see the emergence of a new criminal landscape and Bruce Wayne stepping into the role of soon-to-be hero after completing his training with Ra's al Ghul. In this clip, Drew Powell talks about his new character to the series. Here we go.
I get to be Solomon Grundy this year. It's fun because being Butch as an original character was great, but now I get to join into the canon and be part of history.
Yeah!
Still watching it?
I am. And Preston, I'm not even going to tell you to watch it because there's too much stuff on, but you would love it. It started out, okay, we're going to see the backstory on these villains, and then it kind of became inert, and then it came back with a vengeance. And they start, for what they're showing at 8 o'clock on this show, the amount of violence, and the guy who is supposed to be the Joker, he's kind of the Joker. We're not completely sure if he is the Joker. He's basically has his own dead skin sewn to his face.
Ew.
It's really well done.
Awesome. I see the girl who played who plays Catwoman, who was in here in our studio, is still on the show.
She is really coming to her own now. She is really adopting all the Catwoman traits. She got her bullwhip this season.
Yeah.
And so there, you know, Poison Ivy, everybody is coming along really nicely.
Okay, interesting. The new episode of Gotham airs tonight, by the way, 8 o'clock. That will be on Fox. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Entertainment Report this morning. We got to move along. When we come back, an announcement about an event we got on the way. Never done before. We're excited about this. Vysika Hema will be here. Tom Green will be here. Chris Porter will be here. We have a lot of guests. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Foo Fighters. Stone Sour. 30 Seconds to Mars.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
An announcement of sorts about something that we're going to be doing. We've talked about getting this and making this happen. for a number of years amongst ourselves. And then eventually we decided, you know what, let's go ahead and do it. Let's go for it. So we're taking the show on the road. And Friday, March 16th, the Preston and Steve Show will be broadcasting live from Clearwater, Florida, friends. Spectrum Field, to be specific. And we're headed for spring training with the Phils.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, we've never done it before. It's going to be one day of a live broadcast for us. And, you know, I know a lot of people will head down from the area to go and catch some baseball, you know, before the season starts and get a little bit of sunshine and enjoy that. And we also have a lot of people that either stream or podcast down in and around, you know, Tampa and St. Pete and Clearwater and
absolutely
all up and down through that area. We get contacts from all the time. So not only will we be broadcasting live, we're going to do a sit around, a Preston and Steve get together.
Yeah.
A little meetup. Yeah. Kind of a sit around. So this is going to be on Friday, March 16th. We will be doing the broadcast. The field itself will be closed at that time, so we'll just be doing our show. But if you would like to come and meet up with us after the broadcast, which it'll open around 10:30 or so, the stadium will, we are going to be in Frenchie's Tiki Pavilion in left field.
Yeah.
Nice. So that's where we will broadcast from. That's where we'll just kind of hang out and, I don't know, have some lunch, a couple beers, and just have a good time.
I've been to spring training twice before, and every year that I go, or both times that I went, I've always wanted to go back. And I always say, oh, I'm going to do this every year. I'm really glad we're going down together. And it's a great vibe, and it really does turn in, and Kathy can speak to this too, it turns into Philadelphia South.
Yeah.
When you're down there, there are so many people that you run into that you had no idea they were also in Clearwater and in Florida at the time. And that weekend in particular is St. Patrick's Day weekend, and yeah, it's the biggest weekend for the Phils.
Oh, no doubt.
For spring training. So it's going to be a fun time. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah. This will be, for you and I, this is the first time on a field since we were in AAA.
Yeah. Ball.
It's been a while.
I mean, that's years ago. It'll bring back a lot of memories. Some pleasant, some not so pleasant.
By the way, the Phils are going to play the Blue Jays that day. It's a 1 o'clock game. And to come and hang with us, you have to be going to the game, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so.
And it's fondue day at the park.
Ooh.
Yeah,
well, we'll get to you.
Well, we can't confirm that.
The great thing about spring training games is that you really don't need a seat. You know, you buy a ticket, you get general admission, you go in, and if you make it to your seat, great. If you just end up hanging out at the bar the whole time, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
I've never been, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me either. And my mom and sister and my two uncles as well live in St. Petersburg, which is right by there, so it's going to be a little family get-together for me, too. We're going to go to the game on Saturday. On St. Patrick's Day, which would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Is this where you find out your mom's like a baseball Annie? Is that what they call them?
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. So that Friday, there's a game that day as well. And while not as crazy over the top as the Saturday game will be, because that'll be sold out.
Yeah.
We invite you to buy a ticket, come out, go to the game, meet up with us after our broadcast around 10:30. We'll hang out for a bit. Go to the game. Have a great day, man. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I was thinking about converting to Scientology, so I may pop over to the nation or the world capital.
Well, you might get discounts at the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they have something on the wall there.
Hey, trust me, dude. I want to go look around the campus.
Do you really?
Oh, hell yes.
Go undercover.
Are you kidding
me? Go undercover.
My wife and I have watched that entire, both seasons of the Leah Remini Scientology and the aftermath. We're just absolutely obsessed up with it.
Yeah.
How nutty it is. And I want to go down there and see it in person.
Yeah, there's a way you can actually drive through there on your way back from the ballpark. Ooh.
But they are not, as seen in the show and as seen in the various documentaries, the radar goes up if you're loitering around there and people come out and ask you what you're...
Sure, I don't
care. The story is, yeah.
They got bigger fish to fry than me poking around.
Yeah. No, yeah. You're a major media personality.
Wait till you see it. It's so bizarre.
All right, so, yeah, so this is going to be cool. So those of you who are hanging back here, we'll give you a little taste of spring training through our microphones. And those of you who happen to be down in the area, whether you are headed down specifically for spring training, or if you live in Florida and have listened to the Preston and Steve Show for ages, come by and meet us. We want to say hi to you in person.
Is there a Wawa near there?
Not there's too far.
Really?
Yeah, there's a few around the Tampa area.
Yeah.
All right.
And then Casey pointed out there's also Yingling is down there, too.
Yep.
So, yeah, we got a bunch of Philly institutions.
It is Philly South.
It is. It really is.
All right, tickets available at phillies.com, by the way. So come and join us if you can. That'd be really, really cool. Now, the other event that's coming up is a little bit closer than that. It's tomorrow. the Cardboard Classic. And for those who are coming up, I just found out this. We will have on sale, and I have them here in the studio. They're great looking. Long sleeve shirts that are the Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic, and they'll be on sale at the Tubing Hill and Sled Check-In area Friday. They're $20. I didn't know this. They also come with a complimentary Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic cowbell.
What? Oh!
As well, so you can make some noise as the sleds are coming down the hill.
And they're water resistant, the cowbells.
There's three different sizes, and Nick had them. We did you get a picture of one yet?
Yeah, I got mine on.
Cool. Yeah. So if you want to grab them, you can do that. And maybe we'll have some in the Rock Shop next week. We'll see about that. But if you're coming out of the Cardboard Classic, you'll be able to grab the shirt. Now, with that, Nick, can you pull up the weather forecast? Sir. I didn't get a chance to take a look at it. So this is for officially the Jack Frost area. And is this the hourly?
This starts at 10 p.m. tonight. Okay. And then goes until, you know, projected end of the Cardboard Classic tomorrow.
Okay. I'll go hour by hour. Rain, 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 snow.
Rain, snow.
Rain, snow.
Going in the right direction.
Snow, snow.
Snow, snow.
Snow, wind.
Snow, wind.
Snow, wind, snow, wind, snow, wind, snow, wind.
It's nice. Oh, my God! Snow, wind. Tornado!
Any tornadoes?
No snornadoes.
So by the time we were in rain, snow, does rain, snow begin prior to the our broadcast in the morning?
Rain, snow is 6 a.m.
Let it rain snow.
And then rain snow at 7 a.m. And then snow at 8, 9, and then 10 starts when we start the Cardboard Classic.
Wind.
Snow, wind.
Ooh. Well, listen, things are going to be moist for sure. But snow, wind snow, could actually, should work in our favor.
We'll see. The most important thing is it won't be rain during the event. Is the snow condition going to be the best? No.
Not even close.
Even if we get fresh powder, it's not going to be that great because there's going to be a lot of rain throughout the course of the night. But the thing that I was most concerned about, would it be raining?
The pouring rain, yeah.
Yeah, while we're trying to do the event. And if that's not the case, then we're fine. However, it is going to be very windy. And some of these... Some of these creations are very big.
Yes, they are.
And
they're like sails.
Yeah, they can be like sails, so we'll need to be careful.
Another one of your concerns is as people show up and they begin to build everything and set it up, they won't be dealing with rain. They'll be dealing with snow wind.
Snow wind.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Maybe even just snow at that time.
Okay, so that actually makes it very workable.
Snow stops at 7 a.m. and snow starts at 8 and then snow wind at 10.
What time are we going to try to start this?
As early as humanly possible.
10:30?
As close to 10 as possible. I know we wrap up the show at 10, but we could wrap it up like 10 minutes earlier than that.
I want the medal ceremony to begin at 9:45.
And we'll get out there as quickly as we can to get things rolling.
We're watching video.
However, conditions will kind of improve as the morning goes on, as opposed to when we have really sunny skies and we have to be concerned about the snow melting a little bit.
Well, we'll be starting in wind snow.
Yeah, we will be starting.
Yep.
Snow wind.
What about the drive home?
I'll use my car.
No, seriously.
Yeah, I don't know, Case. Accumulations. I'd seen a weather map on 6ABC. They were doing the weather forecast and showing the Poconos, and it said anywhere from 3 to 6 inches.
Okay.
That way. And then western suburbs here, maybe an inch, and then a coating and closer towards Philadelphia.
Yeah, I saw Cecily Tynan's forecast last night, and she said, Case, that it's going to be mostly snow on the grass, so the roads actually are supposed to be okay.
They're still warm.
Yeah, and so much rain before that will make the driving, hopefully, all right.
I think I'm going to see if Sarah Clayton has a guest room.
And, yeah.
Maybe.
She does live in the Poconos.
Yeah.
She'll come out. And so I had sent an email. Hopefully, we're going to get the finish line moved closer to the base of the hill, and therefore that'll give people that are doing the fastest a better opportunity to get across the finish line.
Rodney Bird, Eric Simon, all these people who have had to adapt from hour to hour to get all this stuff done and happening. But it looks, I feel much more confident, especially since we took calls early in the week, Preston, and there's a real do or die sort of mentality. And this could be, in a bizarre way, one for the record books and a lot of fun in whatever way it happens. Because now that we all accept the fact that there could be any one of a number of scenarios, Was that a menorah coming down the?
I don't know.
I'm looking at the footage now. When it, of course it's beautifully sunny and perfect in this footage.
We're watching video footage of past cardboard classics,
and it's all disasters.
Yeah,
you great. Know what? Even with perfect weather, there's a bunch of disasters. Yeah. So who's kidding who?
Yeah. By the way, we're looking at 30-mile-an-hour winds.
that's insane. And now 30-mile-an-hour winds. But you all have said you get up to the top of the hill.
Yeah.
That kicks up.
Oh, my God, yes. Absolutely.
You know what?
If you're driving at 30 miles an hour, stick your head out the window. And that's what it's going to feel like.
That's not that
you
bad.
Know what? So snow wind starts at like around 10 or so. That's what we should probably talk about this off air, but I wonder if we should make the big ones go first so they can get it to the top of the hill before the wind starts.
Already talked about it.
I know. Those guys like to go last.
I know, but... What if it's falling apart as they're trying to lug it up in 30-mile-per-hour winds?
They're a tough breed, Kathy.
They are a tough breed. All right, anyhow, it's looking like cardboard classics on, so I don't think you have anything to worry about other than the wind and the snow and the rain and stuff like that.
Come up just to get a cool T-shirt.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. $20. Complimentary cowbell with your $20 shirt purse.
Complimentary cowbell. And besides that, the skiing and snowboarding, that's all up and running.
Oh, and we have
everything's running.
We have an expanded beer tent this year, too, I believe, at Victory. So,
and I know where it's going to be dry and warm is the E2000 Lounge at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's going to be open.
All right. So anyhow, we'll get ourselves set and we'll have a damn good time tomorrow. I saw this article on Philly.com. I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not. It's from a staff writer named Samantha Melamed. And
she's a noticer too.
Yeah, she's a noticer. And you know what she has noticed all over the place?
What?
Are the little plastic dental flossers.
Yes.
And apparently... Casey's using one right now. You didn't even know I was going to talk about this.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did.
I mean, whoa, that's
what
so
a coincidence.
Ironic.
But
what an actor.
Casey, but they're on the streets, like on the ground. Like people are just using them anywhere and tossing them.
People are discarding them. Like, as you know, I hate cigarette butts.
Yeah.
These are worse. These are even worse. They're larger. And
they have your goo on it.
Well, and you could, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're pointy. You could,
what if an animal attempts to eat it or something like that?
Yeah. You know, we used to have somebody here who would discard them on the floor. And it really pissed
Jackie. What subhuman was doing that?
I mean, it's so funny because Jackie Bam Bam chewed every single pen in the building.
Yeah.
And he would get pissed off at these flossers, you know, on the ground. In the
not even throwing it in a freaking garbage can?
No. And in the studio where there's a garbage can right there.
What compels a slob? Do you have a name?
Ask Matt Cord.
Well, I knew you were going to say that. I don't think he was discarding them on the floor. I think they would just probably drop. But he's one of these people that has them at any time.
I'm surprised Matt Cord doesn't have a machine that flosses his teeth while he sleeps. The guy's got the brightest teeth in the world.
Listen, yes. I'm a vigilant flosser. I floss every single night, but I don't carry it around with me.
Fan name.
Vigilant flosser.
Yes, I'm writing.
This woman is very handy with floss. You've heard right. Call her now. The Vigilant Flosser. I was born in Moscow. I was first a Red Sparrow, and then they reprogrammed me with floss. Vigilant flosser.
Plaque gingivitis.
They're going down.
Yeah. I wrote it down. That's a good band name, okay. Vigilant Flosser. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but I don't carry these around with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Casey uses them. Do you buy those and bring them in? I mean, you throw them away. I mean, you're respectful.
I don't buy them. I just, whatever I find on the ground in the city.
It's still good. Can't you use your shoelaces?
Yeah. I use a, I have an apparatus made by Reach, you know, the toothbrush maker. And what?
You just did this at the end of the description.
I
know what you're doing.
I know. This looks. I didn't do that.
You kind of did.
Like I'm spanking it. You just made a mess in my mouth. And I was using my left hand, by the way. Anyway, and you just replaced the head of it, Nick.
Okay. That's what I have.
You know.
Above the testicles.
Like a penis. That's what I use. And that has actually brought me around to being a vigilant flosser. Kathy, I floss every day. Yep. I was never a flosser.
Come in here. We have a partner for you.
Yeah.
And Preston Elliott is
Male vigilant flosser.
Because I would always, there would be blood when I would brush my teeth.
Ooh.
And my dentist was like, you got to floss. That's all there is to it. That's what that problem is. You're not flossing. So I started doing it. Where am I getting floss?
Where am I getting flossing? I use a thing that they gave Dr. Kristen Petula. My dentist. They have a thing that's like a little, it's like a little rubbery spike that is really malleable, and that goes in between your teeth. Have you guys used this thing now?
No, like I know
little,
what it is.
Yes,
it's a little nub.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, Casey. I messed that up.
Don't worry, I fixed it.
Messed something up for him. But anyhow, she notes Samantha, this staff writer, that scattered among the cigarette butts, little plastic implements are discarded on the floors of buses and trolleys and subway platforms, tracks on street corners and sidewalks.
That's patently disgusting.
Websites have apparently been devoted to broken, abandoned umbrellas and free-ranging hair extensions known as tumbleweaves. You ever heard of that?
Tumbleweeds.
These are things that people discard around the city.
But honestly,
she says that there needs to be one for these little dental flossers.
That's just why would you just throw it on the ground?
They're just stupid. People who just listen. Back in the day, when I was a inconsiderate smoker, I would chuck my cigarette butts on the ground, but I always look to see if there were other cigarette butts on the ground. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not the only one, you know? So, but there, I don't know, people are just slobs, yeah. You know? Like, I was, you know,
that's the mentality
down the road
that built Nazi Germany.
And there was I was driving, coming off of an exit ramp, and there was a fast food bag just strewn all over. And I'm like,
I'm hungry.
Well, I was hungry. So I pulled over, I grabbed that and a few flossers.
Dumb.
No, but people just do that. People, there are just, there are just major a-holes out there.
Yeah, inconsiderate people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to Mary. Hey, Mary, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great, Mary. What's up?
I just had a call in. I bought a house about 5 years ago, and the previous owner loved to use those flossers.
Uh-huh.
And I literally found them all over my house, behind the stove, outside, in the grass, in the garage. I mean, like probably 1,000 of them.
So here's a person that has a trash can,
yeah,
probably,
yes,
in the house, several of them, and just throws them wherever they wanted to, which you can, exactly, do in your own house, but it's disgusting.
Very much so. When I pulled the stove out to clean, I almost threw up, not only from the grease, but then these little flossers. There's probably like 20 under the stove.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Is there one thing in the house, though, Preston, that you just kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
I know what I do.
Nail clippings. I know, it's disgusting, right?
Wait,
you do it? Like, throw it behind the couch.
Yeah, you're the guilty party. Yeah,
throw it behind the couch? Yeah.
Okay.
See, I would rather it be on the rug in front of me so I can vacuum it up.
Yeah, and you know what else? The Hershey's Kisses Reynolds wrap.
No.
Oh, really? You talk?
Yeah. Listen, we will eventually move the couch from time to time every so a few months, and then we'll vacuum it.
There are things that you deem...
Well,
I don't know, but
biodegradable, right?
Preston, you do that for the ASMR that you have because it sounds so cool when you vacuum all that stuff up.
Anything? Oh, wait, hold on. Marissa might confess to something. Marissa?
Well, the other day I was over at my friend's house, and we all do this in our own apartments by ourselves, but I was sitting on a couch and put my hand down and felt her toenail.
Oh!
In the couch.
Oh, ew. My God.
Okay, that's nasty. Yep, agreed. But yeah, that's something that I'll just discard him. Eh.
But I mean,
it's my castle.
It's your castle. It's your right as a homeowner. You used to enjoy going in your old house and going out and peeing out on the yard, right?
Yeah, man, I haven't done that in a long time.
Off the deck.
Just off the deck.
Not what I heard.
Said just, you heard
shut
it.
That's what I thought.
I thought you said.
What does that have to do with it?
Listen, Steve's show is formally taken off the air.
Right.
Preston Elliott announced a gross act.
He said just off the deck.
Yeah. My brain heard something else.
I haven't peed in the yard in a long time.
You're missing out.
It is kind of.
I bought a house just so I could do that.
It's liberating. There is something very special about it. I don't have quite as much cover as I do. There is a spot where I can go if I want to.
Like
my kids
zone?
Were doing it because we have a pool, and there's an area where they would go back, and they had what they called the pee rock.
Why don't they just pee in the pool?
Well, yeah, come on, man.
Like civilized people.
and they would pee on the rock. I'm like, you got to stop doing that.
Are you more, I hate to go off on this tangent, sure, but ahead. I have to ask, are you more inclined to pee in the pool or the hot tub?
Oh, never in the hot tub.
Never. Wait, in the hot tub?
It's small and it circulates a bit much.
Yeah, but it's very, very
the pool is
chlorinated.
Yes, but so is the pool, and it's much, much larger, and it's so diluted by the time
it gets
to be in the pool.
A family member.
Okay. Yeah,
it's just had to ask.
My,
the hot tub, you're basically peeing on them.
I got a text message, that, and Steve, maybe you could
speak
agree
to this.
Yeah, because the lady who called in with the flossers that were all over the house. What if it was the cat that knocked the flossers all, you know what I mean? Like, cats like to knock things off the counter. And
So you're saying that, but why would there be a whole bunch of flossers precariously placed above a stove?
No, they were underneath or behind the stove.
Yeah, she said they were behind the stove, but she also said they were in the yard. They were in a bunch of places.
Oh, yeah, that too.
They were scattered about the
house. My cats floss and they throw them away in the garbage can.
Let me go to Vince as a question. Hi, Vince, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's
up? I think it's gross about the floss as well. But what about toothpicks? I mean,
yeah, man,
wood.
I agree.
No problem with finding a toothpick on the ground.
I've seen dudes just take a toothpick out of the mouth and just throw them on the ground like a cigarette butt. Same mentality.
The argument that this gal made on here was that at least that's somewhat degradable.
So that means she throws them away that way.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
So anything plastic.
Yeah, I mean, Kathy, you and I don't know if you still do this, but. Like, if you're eating an apple or banana in the car, you'll chuck it out the window.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
An apple core.
Well, you do?
Sure.
I would not do that.
I kind of stopped because when we talked about it, people gave me a hard time about it.
No, it ain't that bad.
Will you hurl a turkey leg out?
No, hurl a turkey leg. No, but an apple core will completely biodegrade in a very short amount of time. And in fact, the ants can kind of have some fun with it.
You're feeding nature.
If you were in the city, would you throw it out the window or would you?
No, I wouldn't do that. I'd throw it out if there's a grassy or wooded area or something.
You worry about the ants and if they're getting enough food.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's an ant celebration.
They're part of the ecosystem. Yeah. Come on.
Thank you, Preston.
It's like a god to them.
Because ants have trouble finding food.
It's like in the gods must be crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Soda bottle falls out. It's
clearly from God.
And all of a sudden
have you guys ever
except if the entire apple core lands on a colony and crushes them.
Yeah. If you're driving on a highway and your friend or somebody is behind you, like you're road tripping somewhere,
mm-hmm.
will you throw things out the window at them?
No.
Okay. I think that's funny.
Will you do it?
Oh, I've done it. Yeah.
Like what will you throw out?
I have flicked at cigarette butts and stuff like that at them, but that to me
is this when you were younger, right?
Yeah. I haven't road tripped in a while.
Well, do you do the thing where you drive around and you pleasure yourself with cheese?
Not with cheese,
not so much.
Around North South,
North South. That's where I used to do it.
Yeah.
You know, though,
I like to suck on.
Do not use Monterey Jack.
No.
I've fantasized, burns. Casey, about, if somebody cuts me off in traffic or something like that, throwing something out of my sunroof at the car that's done that, the offensive car. I've never actually done it, but I've wanted to sometimes.
I flicked a cigarette butt at my buddy George, who it was just, I did it just to watch his reaction, because he was so mad, and he was so douchey about his car that I really, and I hope you heard this, George. You were. I just loved to see it. He was so mad. It was great.
I'm sorry, I'm reading text messages.
I know you are.
That was so great.
Is he still going on about that?
People are saying now that if you throw food out the window, listen, I'm not going around willy-nilly chucking apple cores out of my car every day.
I had the image of you like Jethro with like,
I couldn't even tell you the last time I ever did something like that, but they're saying that it will lure wildlife closer to the road.
This morning, radio host Kristen Elliott admitted to being a chronic apple core thrower. At a press conference, a number of ants came to his defense.
Yes, you're right.
Whom they call Yahweh.
That's my god name?
Yeah, it's your god name.
Yahweh.
Yeah.
Think of the ants, people.
Yahweh. All right, anyhow. Listen, if you're going to use these flosser things, throw them away for quite now. Let me go to Tony. I'm sorry, Steve.
No,
Tony, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Gazooks, buddy. What's up, man?
Hey, man, I work with my plumber extensively. We got called out for a tub drain that was backed up from his wife. Her husband was throwing these things in the shower. You know, like brush your teeth in the shower?
Yeah.
He would just throw these things in the shower, let them go down the drain. We had to take a shot back. We shot backed up. It had to be 40 or 50 of these things right out of the shower.
Tony, they're clearly plastic. They're clearly going to gum up the pipe.
So some.
I'll tell you what, if we were jury, man, we'd shoot that guy right on the head. There's no need for this kind of stuff in civilized society.
Yeah. Listen, Tony, you'll agree that what some people think will go down the drain. Mm-hmm. And go away for good.
Yeah, they're wrong.
It's just ridiculous.
They're wrong.
It's horrific, the stuff they try to jam down that thing, man.
So let me ask you, in your line of work, what's the biggest bezoar, you know, the biggest hair clump you've ever pulled out?
Oof. Oh, my. Oh, it looked like a small cat.
Tony, do you just want to die when you see something? I mean, I know it's your line of work periodically, but do you almost vomit?
Yes. My plumber is, I work with my plumber. The smells are horrific, but the worst by far are pulling feminine products out of ejector pits. If you're in a basement, you cannot flush those things in the toilet because it has to go into a pit. They have to be ground up and then shot up through the drain.
And basement toilets won't do that. Mm.
No. Well, they get clogged. There's blades in there that chop everything up.
Yep. Well, so is it just the basement toilet? Because I had a plumber tell me that those should never be flushed down the toilet, like any toilet.
That's the best rule of thumb. Don't flush any of that stuff down the toilet.
I use a duvet.
Oh, I forgot. I didn't. Thank you for calling.
I use pillow casings.
The other day.
Oh,
wasn't,
oh no!
I wasn't even going to talk about this on the air. All right.
I might have something. No, to add.
Is it at your house?
It was that morning that things got real.
Oh. It was at my house.
Oh man, you're going to get in trouble.
And so we have puppies.
Rochelle, start dialing.
We have puppies, and you need to keep the bathroom door closed because there's a trash can in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
And so I come in.
I've been here.
I see. Rook, the dog, and he's got
going
something
to
red in his mouth.
Going to town.
And I'm like, what you got there, buddy?
Preston. Preston,
it was a used tampon.
Right over here.
Oh my God.
When we were in Manayunk, in the house for like a year.
You took a picture?
Our oldest cat, Mac, got into the wicker trash container in the bathroom. It looked like a CSI crime scene.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Somebody must be dying.
My dog, Hershey, brought us a present at a sleepover. So all of my friends were sitting on the living room floor. Yeah. Oh. I was probably like seventh grade. We're like, hey, what do you got, Hersh?
Preston, I'm so glad you brought it up, though, because I have two kittens, and exact same thing, and I also took a picture.
Yeah,
I just said to that plumber, because the few people that I did tell the story to, they were like, ew, you don't flush them down the toilet? I'm like, when we moved into the new house, a plumber told me, don't ever flush them. And yes, it's disgusting, but it goes in the trash can, and well, not used to not having cats anymore, I forgot that
their sense
she
of smell,
would go in there.
Right, their sense of smell is tremendous. And
she
so
was like going to town on it. She was having so much fun.
Let's see.
Oh, God.
The reason I took a picture of it. Looks like the most adorable gynecological ad ever.
Oh, I had to send it to Rochelle. I just sent her a text. You want to see something disgusting?
Oh, it's so awful.
And later on, we're like, no kisses for you, little buddy. Oh,
you know what they should do? They should turn those into Kongs. You know?
Preston, right? I had to buy a trash can with a lid.
Yeah.
A little mini trash can for the bathroom with a lid, because I was like, this can't ever happen again.
We have to put our trash can on top of the, because of the dog, we have to put it on top of the counter.
Yeah. We made a huge mistake.
What do you want me to do?
My wife I said, maybe we can mask the smell by covering it in peanut butter. And that was a big mistake.
That's a big mistake. All right, anyhow, this might be a conversation for another time, because I'm sure some people have had a similar thing happen. I don't know. Maybe we'll bring it up tomorrow. Who knows? We got to take a break. It's already 7:48. So let's do that very thing. We have a number of guests that are coming by. Vysica Emma should be here any moment.
Unless he's turned around.
We got to do the B-file as well. And Tom Green will be here, and Chris Porter will be here, too. So we have a busy morning. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
50th birthday concert series presents MMRBQ 2018. Our big all-day rock festival just got bigger, starring Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots, Just Added, Korn's Jonathan Davis, and station favorites, The Record Company. Also performing Ghost, Dorothy, Radke, and Jackson's local shots opener in the presence of wolves. One day, eight bands. The best deal in rock, starting at just $35. On sale now, Ticketmaster.com. MMRBQ 2018. Join us.
Let us do the B-File first, and then we will welcome our next guest to the studio. So here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by Jack Frost Big Boulder Ski Areas. From Jack Frost Big Boulder Ski Areas, go to jfbb.com now, and you can save up to 50% on lift tickets. Let's start with this. A woman, it's a little nasty. A woman arrested in a theft at a grocery store defecated to hide the drug evidence she was carrying.
Whoa,
I mean, like, this is what she did to hide the drugs. The incident happened Wednesday after the woman, Shannon Santa Martin, was arrested at an HEB store. Officers had responded to the store on a report of a theft at the store. Martin resisted arrest and was handcuffed and put in a police vehicle. On the way to jail, Martin intentionally defecated to conceal 2.3 grams of crack cocaine, a crack pipe, and a Valentine's Day card as well.
Oh, my God, a Valentine's Day card. That's so sweet.
I don't understand. Okay, how does she conceal it by pooping?
She shoved it in the poop. Oh. Police found the drugs and the card while booking her at the jail.
Did she at least use some garnish?
I don't know. Martin was charged
with back here
tampering with evidence and possession of a controlled substance.
Oh, a card.
Mm-hmm. I follow a guy named S-Head Steve on Instagram, and there was a video yesterday of a woman walking into a store on surveillance camera in a dress, and she just kind of like lifts her dress a little bit, and a turd comes out, and she just keeps on walking.
See, to me, that's even worse than the flossing.
Yes.
A little apparatus. Bit worse than the flossing.
I think
apparatus.
So. I think I'm less inclined to like
there
that.
It is.
Alrighty then. Moving along. A woman was arrested for allegedly striking her boyfriend because he interrupted sex to go check on dinner. Like most stories in Florida, it involves NASCAR, alcohol, and, quote, having a good time.
Of course.
According to the sheriff's office, a deputy received a call about a domestic disturbance on the evening of February 25th. Dispatch said that the female half of the altercation was at the Paisley Mart. The boyfriend was still at their place. At the Paisley Mart, 51-year-old Teresa Warren told the officer that her and her boyfriend were, quote, drinking alcohol and having a good time. But then suddenly, out of nowhere, he just punched her in the face with a closed fist. She did have a red mark on her face. She claimed that she lost consciousness, and when she woke up, she ran to her boyfriend's car and left. Now, the boyfriend, though, he told a different story. He told the deputy that they were indeed drinking alcohol, cooking, watching the NASCAR race, and having a good time.
Man, I'm not going to lie.
Then, according to his story, per arrest affidavit, things got weird. They started having sex, but then he remembered he was cooking. He didn't want the food to burn, so he took a little break to go check on the food. A Florida woman was not having it, so she smashed a TV onto the floor.
Okay.
Her boyfriend asked...
I got to check on the Clams Casino.
Her boyfriend asked what was wrong. Instead of answering with words, she just screamed and started striking him with fists in his face, head, stomach, and legs. He pushed her out the front door and told her to leave, and she charged at him again. So he stuck out his hand to block her, creating that red mark on her left cheek with the palm of his hand.
Keep it down, you're going to make my souffle fall.
Then he said that she ran off with his vehicle. The boyfriend had a swollen left eye and a red mark on his stomach. The woman was determined to be the primary aggressor in the case, so she was arrested on a misdemeanor battery charge and taken to the Lake County Jail, by the way.
Otherwise, I bet they're a sweet couple.
Yeah. I love this story. Pennsylvania State Police say troopers responded Monday to a reported meatball robbery at a residence in Hazel Township. 48-year-old Lehman Potter of Sugarloaf, PA, was accused of the theft. Now, police say that the victim reported that a pot of meatballs was stolen from inside his garage around 2:30 p.m.
Yes, sir, the meatballs were right over here.
The pot was found on the street outside of the residence. The victim said that earlier that day, he came home to find Potter standing outside. Troopers say Potter had red sauce on his face and clothing.
Uh-huh. You Where were you when the meatballs were stolen?
I've been to Sugarloaf, PA. This sounds about right.
Okay. All right. That guy was the mayor.
He returned to the victim's home a short time later and was taken into custody. Potter had an active warrant through the Luzerne County Sheriff's Department.
Yeah. It's like when they ask a kid, did you take any of the donuts, and they got the icing on their lip?
His warrant was for failure to appear and was charged with burglary, criminal trespass, and the theft by unlawful taking as well.
Two food stories.
Yep, yep. Let's see. Let's go with one more since we do have a guest here. We'll end with this one. This home has seen its fair share of happy endings, but not for the person who was about to buy it. In Paradise Valley, Arizona, a woman named Linda Fine had just made a $1.8 million offer on a four-bedroom, 4,172-square-foot home spread across a 1.3-acre lot. Sounds really nice. Until she pulled out of the deal after discovering its past in the porn industry.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, the property had been utilized as the set of Wifey's World.
Ooh. Oh!
Big fan.
You know who that is?
No, I've never heard of it.
I knew you guys would know who that was.
I'm totally unfamiliar with this. Pornography is wrong.
The set of Wifey's...
Anybody have any water?
Wifey's World, a porn site founded in 1998 and operated by a couple named Kevin and Sandra Otterson. The owners of the home, according to the Arizona Republic.
So that's real?
At the price point, this is Fine saying, at the price point, I figured there might be some courtesy to the buyer. I just can't make Thanksgiving dinner on counters where a porn star has been lounging around.
No, she doesn't have to worry. A friend of mine who's seen some of these videos, it's never on the counter. Preston, wouldn't you walk around going, guess what this house was here?
Totally.
The home's
listing agent told Fine the owners were in the entertainment industry. That tidbit led her to the shocking discovery.
It's a beautiful house.
Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous. In Arizona, there's no statute stating that the porn film set history has to be disclosed in a listing.
All right.
Fine said, I certainly believe there are people out there who wouldn't care about the house being used for those purposes. I'm just not one of them.
That shows you what your mouth can get you.
Yeah. Right. Hey, I'm honestly not familiar with Wifey's World. Is it the same person? And
It is a married couple.
Okay.
Or so we're told. Or so my friend says we're told. And there is really only usually two menu items, Preston. Your friend will probably back that up as well.
Like a popsicle and something else?
And perhaps manipulation.
Okay.
But nothing tawdry.
But anyway, this woman is upset that this stuff took place in the house. Which look, it's a great house.
Why isn't that on the map of the stars?
I don't really know why it would matter too much. But some people, it freaks them out a little bit. And she's one of them. And all right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file. We're going to clean the slate. We're going to get away all from all that yucky stuff.
It's horrible. And it's almost, I feel dirty for now having this bastion of society on after that disgusting
talk. Yes, you can. We are going to be cleansed now because we have a good friend who is here to talk about a very good cause, of course. And we spoke to him not that long ago. May I say, one of the most confident believers in the Eagles winning the Super Bowl of anybody we spoke to.
He was the person that I said, you know what, I think they're going to win because of
made
his...
Made feel better.
Yeah, his exactly. And yep. His opinion on why he thought they were going to win. I'm like, okay, they're going to win.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we have a theme song. We haven't played this theme song in ages. Casey just brought this up. Can you, can you fire that up, please? Here we go. Yeah.
Fire, everywhere, fire. Talking about the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, and Flyers. He's a tongue in superfly. Don't you know it's fire?
Vice again.
Yeah.
I miss you guys. First of all, I'm a little upset right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because my producers don't give me the kind of stories that you guys do. We did 3 hours of news this morning. Not one story that you guys read.
You missed out on Wifey's World.
You know? The stolen meatballs? That would you guys should have
done
that.
And the defecating...
right. I don't know. I don't know. I assume even on Tonga, that would be considered a no-no, correct?
I think in any... Any society. Yeah. Any society.
Yeah. But you went from sports to news. I know you've been doing it for years now, but I mean, do you like it better? How are you feeling about it?
I don't know if I like it better, but I love it. I really enjoy doing it.
And you get the chance to sort of like, as with the Olympics, you get the chance to do sort of both, and you know, and coverage and things of that nature.
Yeah, not the Olympics anymore, because you guys, I hear you guys are cheating on me.
Yes,
you guys have gone to Keith Jones. You guys, you know, sort of conveniently left that out, that you guys are now cheating with Keith Jones.
We are. We freely admit it.
He's younger and better looking.
That's what happens. Yeah. Taller, younger, more head thinner. I understand. I get it.
But it's not cheating because you weren't there. It would be different if you were both there.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
I had a teammate who I used to see him. We would travel on the road, and every road trip we took, there was a new girlfriend somewhere. So I,
really?
You know, being naive, I approached him. I said, "Dude, what's with all the girlfriends?" And he said, "Well, you know, I was married in the state of Alabama, so I'm." My marriage license is in the state of Alabama.
Whoa. Looking for that gray area. Yes,
I would never cheat on my wife in Alabama.
Wow.
Because there, it would, you know, there'd be trouble. But I'm licensed. My marriage license is in the state of Alabama. I get it.
As for my marriage, I'm licensed in Alabama.
I understand.
We haven't had a chance to ask you, and I wanted to, about after the Super Bowl, because we had you on before, and you said you were going to wear your Reggie White jersey. Did you get a chance to do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I wore Reggie. I took two jerseys. I took Reggie, and I took Randall.
You didn't take your Sick of Hema jersey?
No, my son came with his wife, newly married, and they thought that, you know, coming to the game would be their gift.
Yeah,
and it was. So she wanted to wear the Sick of Hema jersey, and so
right. Gave it. Oh, that's cool.
Good. That's cool.
That's so cool. Do you care about your father-in-law? You know, that much.
It was really cool because she had no understanding. No, you know, I mean, she knew that I played football, of course. But she got immersed in the world of Eagles football like for a week.
And did she respond positively?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, she can't believe, you know, and she's doing the Eagles chant now, and they're you know, they're out west, but she just can't believe that this is a world that exists in and out, you know.
Yeah.
Well, this is probably a silly question. But is your favorite football team, the Eagles? Your favorite football team, the Eagles?
I play for the Cardinals, and I play for the Packers, and I actually cheer for those teams when I see them playing, but never when they play the Eagles.
Because I've noticed, as far as, you know, allegiances are concerned amongst professional football players, they probably have more of an allegiance to their college team than they would, because you bounce around so many in so many places in professional.
Yeah, and when you're playing, you know, your allegiance is to the folks that are currently paying you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're very loyal.
But then after
to them.
It's all said and done, you know, for somebody like yourself, you played for a few different teams.
Yeah, and I stayed here. I mean, I played longer for the Cardinals. I only spent 1 year in Green Bay. But when I got here, there was just something that was, which is really weird, because when I played, I was in this conference. So I came to Philadelphia every year as a member of the Cardinals when the Cardinals were in the NFC East. And I hated Philadelphia. Whoa! I'm looking at a picture of me
there
and Keith
Jones
standing.
Wow.
This was at Giant Stadium, and I'm heckling with the fans there because I just scored the punt return against them. And so, the game is going on, but
Is that the punching back touchdown?
Yes, it just happened.
Oh, my God. You look like the guy from Barney Miller in this movie.
No, I was thinking Tyson, the physicist.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah.
Just had a quick glance.
you're looking crazy. Slick there.
I had the mustache going.
Yeah.
And,
well, let me ask you this question, because obviously you played for the Cardinals organization in St. Louis. Did you have any allegiance towards the city of St. Louis, like, let's say, when the Rams were playing there?
No.
Okay.
No, none. And I played for them in Phoenix as well.
Oh, you did?
I went to St. Louis and then moved with the team to Phoenix and spent another 3 or 4 years in Phoenix with them. But I love, in fact, I'm really close to their, the guy who runs the organization now, the son of the chairman, is Michael Bidwell. With the Cardinals. And he and I are close because he was like an 18-year-old kid when I was there. He was a ball boy. And he would come around. And the players, you know, slap him around. And, you know, because the players don't care who you are.
Right.
But I was always nice to him. And he'd come over and sit in my stool. You know, we'd chat. And I talked to him about school and life and stuff. And then he went on to college. I think he went to law school at Georgetown. And then now he runs the organization. Wow. So when I'm in town, whenever I'm there, I, you know, he calls me and we get together and have lunch.
That's so cool. I have to imagine you were like you were the guy in the locker room who was the, you know, the morale builder. We just talked to you for a few minutes, as Kathy was saying, prior to the game, and after talking to you, we're like, Vine's right. We're gonna win this.
You know, the only thing that worried me in the game, I wasn't worried at all.
Yeah.
In the game, what surprised me is, we don't see obviously the Patriots play every week, and whether we play them, we're not in the conference, we're not in the division with them. But I was surprised how many points they put up, which to me, you know, Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. Yeah. They put up more points than I expected, but I thought we were just going to mow them down. I mean, we scored, 41 points? I expected that I told you guys that before the game started,
right.
We were going to score easily on these guys.
I think Kevin Hart had us at 83 points.
Yeah, something like 83
to 6. So, you were a little shy of that.
Wow.
Did you see him trying to get into
the...
Oh, my God,
yeah. That was awesome.
I was standing right behind him, and I didn't realize it was him until he turned around and walked back out. And I was, dude, that's Kevin Hart.
And his recounting of that, he's still a little lit up in the back of a limo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And even he's laughing at what was on his mind. What was he thinking?
He was lit up. I could hear him, screaming at the, with his little high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
Get
in
there! Get
in there! Oh, that's so funny. Hey, well, Vi, let's talk about what's going on today with the foster care phone bank.
Oh, yeah. Place. Today from 4 to 6:30, we have a phone bank going on at NBC10. And here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to recruit families, parents, individuals. You don't have to have a family. What you need to have is a shelter. You have to have an apartment. If you have a couch,
yeah.
If you have a floatable or a inflatable mattress, that's what you need to be able to foster. A kid
to take someone out of the system and give them a little sense of normalcy.
And this is not permanent, by the way.
No.
This is temporary. This is for. I talked to a couple last week who took in three siblings under the age of 5 because their parents were involved in a car accident. Now, you think about that. You don't ever, consider what happens when a couple gets in a car accident and they're both hospitalized. And if you don't have family in town, or you have family, but they're not in a position to take, financially, whatever, otherwise, or dysfunction, that they're not in a position to take in children, then where do those kids go?
Yeah.
This is where DHS steps in.
Well, Vi, I heard you and Kathy talking off air, and Kathy, you were saying things are like critical right now.
Yeah, there's, let me pull up, I think it's, there are more than 6,000 children and youth in the city of Philadelphia right now that need homes. And there's a limit to how many foster kids can go into a home. And the state of Pennsylvania is actually exceeding that. They're they're allowing it because they don't have enough people to take these kids in. And part of it, things like that, of course, occur, but part of it is because of the opioid epidemic.
I hadn't considered that until Kathy and I were talking, during the break. And yeah, that makes total
what
sense.
What a pernicious thing. And you don't even think about that. So you think about car accidents, you think about that, but these, they're collateral damage to this horrific situation. So you're saying not even long term, just for, to provide some place for them to go.
Sometimes it's just overnight. Sometimes it's a weekend. Sometimes it could be a week. It could be a couple of months. You don't know, but legally you can't keep them, permanently, like you would if you were adopting. This is just temporary until their circumstances in their home is stable.
But for someone who was perhaps entertaining the notion at some point of going more long term, this might be a good way to take a try at it.
We have parents who and individuals who decide to adopt the kids that they foster.
Wow.
And so that often happens. It doesn't always happen, but when it happens, it's a beautiful thing.
So there's actually two different programs, and it all falls under the same umbrella, but you can be a foster parent, or you can do something that's called foster to adopt, where they know that that's your end goal, and it doesn't always happen, but it can, and you'll likely be matched with a child who is heading in that direction.
So here's the deal with today. If this sounds like you can lend a hand, I'm sure you have a ton of questions, and that's part of what you guys are doing today.
Yep, we're going to have a phone bank set up, and all throughout our evening newscast from 4 to 6:30, we'll have folks there. I'll be there from 4 to 5 o'clock, and we'll answer phone calls, and we'll try to answer your questions for you if you're thinking about doing this.
This has been a passion of yours with the Wednesday's Child stuff, and this as well for so long. Why do you think it resonates with you so much?
Well, you know, I've got four kids,
yeah.
And you know, my kids have had the blessing of growing up in a home that's stable. Kathy understands this. I mean, we all understand
yeah.
this. You got children, you understand mm-hmm. How important it is to have stable homes. And if these kids don't have that, then you know what? Then we deal with them on the back end, and the back end is prison.
Yeah,
right. That's the back end. So it's better. Always better to be on the front end and help these kids, place them in good homes and give them some help.
I was looking at pictures of they had people who had since go on to become notorious as young kids, and you're yeah. like, right there was, you know, the beginning of a path that needn't be. And it's almost always a case where there was just not enough love or not enough caring or not a stable home, and you know what could have been averted with a little bit of. A little bit of caring.
Yep, I believe my mother had embroidered these two proverbs on our wall. And we didn't have a big home. We had a small little tiny little home. There was Section 8 housing, actually. And the two proverbs that she had up was one was the most important work that we'll ever do is within the four walls of our home. And the other said that no success can compensate for failure in the home.
Wow.
And for many of these kids, they come from homes where they have failed. Adults have failed them. And so I think it's, you know, we as a society, we got to try to do the best we can to help these kids, help them overcome their circumstances and their situation, be better. And you know what? What's great about the Wednesday's Child, I've been doing it for 14 years now, and now we have these reunions where these kids come back, and now they're parents.
Yeah.
Wow. And they come back, and they've been in college. Some of these kids, you know, they're married, they've got children, and they're you know, living great, wonderful lives. They've got homes in the suburbs, and some of them are now have become adoptive parents or fostering. So it's an amazing, it's been a wonderful thing to see happen.
Nice. All right, well, listen, that's taking place starting at 4 o'clock today on NBC 10, so you'll be able to call in with your questions. If you can help out, they definitely, our city needs the help, so we'll make sure that they get the information through NBC 10, which is cool.
You guys are the best.
Wonderful to see you, Vi.
You guys are the best.
Let's
love
hit
you
that theme song again. Here we go.
Yeah!
We're going to take a break. Tom Green's going to be in our studio, so don't go far.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Our next guest is going to be at Helium Comedy Club, and we're glad to have him back. He actually came down to our Camp Out for Hunger one year and helped support us in that event. Please welcome the one and only Tom Green.
Yeah! Thank you very much. Good to be here. Great to be back in Philadelphia. Amazing. Exciting. So much fun. I have a show tonight. I have a show tomorrow night. I have the show next night. Yeah. I just posted a picture of your comic book on my Instagram.
Oh, you like that cover?
That's a cool comic book.
That's pretty cool, right? We actually did an actual, somebody did a series of comics for us a while ago, but that's of a what if comic book.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm kind of into that. My girlfriend's an illustrator. She draws comic books.
Really? Is she the one that did your profile picture on Twitter and Instagram?
Absolutely.
It's really
cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what are you into?
What's that?
Like Marvel, DC?
Well, me personally, I just kind of like look at when she's drawn stuff, and you know, I'm not totally well versed in comics, but I can tell that that's a really good one.
Yeah.
I sent it to her.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, she's Secret Crayon on Instagram. I'm Tom Green on Instagram. You can go look at my Daddy Would You Like Some Sausage. drawing that she did. Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah,
from Freddy Got Fingered.
It's sort of a. Kind of a depiction of a scene from my movie Freddy Got Fingered, my critically acclaimed film.
I'm going to tell you this, Tom. I've revisited Freddy Got Fingered, and initially, I was less than thrilled with it. And over the years, it has become something that I really enjoy, especially this scene where your father in the movie is just to the end of his rope.
Yeah.
And you are there sitting playing what appears to be like a Casio piano, loads of strings attached to your fingers, going up over hooks, and at the end of the strings on the other side, the sausages.
Yeah, yeah.
And you keep
I made that.
I
had a pulley system. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's a visual movie. There's lots of outrageous visual scenes and physical stunts. I wrote and directed the whole movie, you know.
I will say that people need me to. If you have not spent some time at Freddy Got Fingered recently, you need to.
It's gotten a cult? It's gotten a bit of a worldwide cult fanatic following now.
I'll tell you what you did. It was brilliant, by the way, because when you got the Razzie, I believe you showed up to accept, correct?
I did, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. We're first person to do that. Yeah.
Which was very cool.
Me. Halle Berry copied me.
Yes.
It's the only time Halle Berry's copied anything I've done.
Monsters Ball or anything?
No.
I'll tell you this, though. Again, it's, you know, but the same could be said for, and we told Will Ferrell this. There have been movies that he's been in, the initial watching, you're like, okay. And then you see it a few more times, and then you start to say, oh, okay, now it's clicking.
Well, you know, I think the reason that it received a critical backlash is actually the reason why people like it, is because the movie's completely insane.
Okay.
And so, you know, whenever you do something that is shocking or outrageous or polarizing like that, which was purposefully what we did. You know, I purposely wanted the movie to upset and confuse people.
It's like a
more confuse people, really. I like confusing people.
Confused.
It did. It confused the critics, I think. It confused the people, and they didn't know how to respond to it. And when your job is to write a review of a movie,
right,
and the movie involves, you know, sausages and you know, wrapping yourself up in roadkill and, you know, all sorts of bizarre. And, you know, it's almost, I think you feel obligated as a writer to say that it's depraved and there's something wrong with it. So, but then people, I don't think that way. I think they just sort of, if they see something interesting or that confuses them or intrigues them, I think they tend to like it.
I think you're right.
Sometimes, as opposed to dislike it.
And sometimes movies like that are ahead of their time or just not released at the right time, you know, and they find an audience later. And I was just reminded because I looked at your Instagram account, there's a couple of photos of you wearing a Letterman jacket. You know, you're a huge Letterman fan. And I recently rewatched Cabin Boy, in which Dave makes a cameo. I didn't get Chris Elliott until much later on, but now I think he's a comedic genius. And I feel like there's a part of me that's like, well, I missed the boat earlier on in Chris Elliott. You know,
The man under the stairs.
Yeah. Man under the stairs is great.
I loved him. Man.
I got it.
Yeah.
Cabin Boy is a great thing to point out, Nick, because that's one of those that I immediately took to that. I'll tell you why Freddy Got Fingered would succeed now, because that was well ahead of the YouTube stupid viral video with no direct, just sort of stream of consciousness sort of comedy that is now commonplace. I think that's why it would succeed now. To Nick's point about timing, you know?
I think everybody's palate changes. It's not, you know, much different from foods you didn't like when you were a kid and then foods that you can eat now. Case in point, I had meatloaf this past week, and I loved it, but I couldn't stand it as a child. So, you know, maybe we just, you know, there are just certain things that we
personally...
Freddy
Got Fingered, it's like meatloaf.
Go back and try it. You might like it now.
No, you know... I was a skateboarder, and I always was into sort of non-commercial things.
Yeah.
Before I was making the show, the Tom Green Show, I was into... You know, punk rock music and hip hop music back before it was cool. And, you know, I was kind of always into sort of doing stuff that people weren't really into. And so, you know, I think there was sort of this sort of anti nonconformist kind of thing that was going on. And so when the show was thrust into the mainstream, you know, on MTV, you know, all of a sudden we had people watching it that were, you know, normal people. Normal people who like normal things.
Right.
And that maybe was, you know, a little bit confusing for them.
Well, but it also thrust you into the stratosphere, because then you became the darling of people who had been waiting for something like that. I mean, the great Ernie Kovacs years ago is, you know, he did stuff that people just didn't get, and he's a legend. But, I mean... The list of things that you did on that show that blew our collective minds immediately, you know, is a super long list. It's the statues of your parents having sex. You know, this is brilliant.
They were mad about that.
Yeah, that one almost broke your relationship with your parents.
They called MTV. My father called MTV, and he threatened on the answering machine, which I still can't believe they had an answering machine. But somehow he found the number that had an answering machine.
Yeah,
because we played the recording back on the show.
Yeah, right? Tom
threatened to sue them, you MTV bleep, for $1 million. He said, you know, which is Canadian dollars.
Canadian dollars.
$700,000.
Tom created these life size
statues of people having graphic sex, yeah. and he set them up on his parents.
It was actually my parents. Yeah.
It was them.
It was them.
On their front yard, their front lawn. Yeah. One of them was like a doggy style type thing, and had there was an actual fountain, that came out of the money shot area, and was just.
Oh my God.
It was a scream.
I think they were particularly upset about that because I'd been doing pranks to them for years, on them for years. And then when MTV picked up the show, I moved down to New York City. And they were so happy for me and relieved because I was gone. And I assumed that the pranks had ended. But now we had a budget. You know, we had an MTV budget now. Yes. Budget to make statues.
You were a precursor. There'd have been no
Jackass.
Jackass.
Right.
I mean, that you clearly opened the door on all of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the only reason that sex statues thing aired was because... Because they weren't going to let us air it. And then Oprah invited my parents and I on her show for her Mother's Day special.
Whoa.
This is how weird my life got in 1999. And so when I was, we all flew to Chicago. Up until that moment, my mother had not been talking to me because of the sex statues bit that you brought up. And so we go on Oprah, and then after then Oprah surprised my parents and said that she was going to send them to Tahiti. So she gave them tickets to Tahiti.
Wow.
And then we went out for dinner in Chicago that night, and I pulled a release form out of my back pocket and got my parents to sign the release form.
So brilliant.
So we could air the sex statues bit.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you, Oprah.
Oprah buttered it up. Oh, my God.
Well, let me ask you, because I have three kids, but my son in particular, he does things to me that I would, like, I don't even get mad at. I really don't, but it's so disrespectful. And, so he's been taken to farting in my face lately.
Yeah.
And
how does that, I don't want to even.
Well,
I don't need details.
You don't need details, but, you know, I would never fart in my dad's face.
Yeah.
I would never think to fart in my dad's
face. You're in
trouble. I'm like, this little kid, but. I said, okay, well, I'm going to fart in your face now. Since this is a thing that we're allowed to do, I'm going to now hold you down and fart in your face.
Wow. Well, you have a lucrative career here for Tom Green.
Yeah.
Are you prepared to potentially stifle that, or are you going to encourage it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to do is here.
How old is your...
He's 10.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. I don't have any kids yet.
But it's tough to like create boundaries because sometimes I go, yo, dude, like, so when I ask him to go to bed and he doesn't go to bed, I'm like, gotta respect your father. But your father also lets you fart in his face.
Yeah.
So
now he's going to be like, no,
does he listen to the radio show?
Well, he's in school right now, but he does listen to the radio show.
Well, maybe that's why. He assumes it's okay.
Yeah.
You're okay, I do a crazy show, and you're a crazy guy, and you do fun stuff. So, yeah. Your father probably, you know, was a little more respectable than you, I bet.
You know what? You're right.
You're exactly right. By leaps and bounds. Yeah.
I remember when you started to get a little too popular, and I was actually a little disappointed because your stuff was just so funny. How did you take to that popularity?
Well, like when the show was on in New York, like when we were living in New York, it was kind of got harder to film some of the bits on the street.
Yeah.
Because that's the liability. You become recognized.
You'd go out and you'd sort of want to pull, you know, a prank on someone and they'd sort of be excited.
Yeah.
It was you.
So that kind of affected the ability to shoot in the city. So that's when the show moved out to Los Angeles, because we found that in L.A. you could sort of get in a van with tinted windows and drive around until you saw somebody who looked, you know, too old to be watching MTV, and then just get out and make fun of them.
Be a little bit more surgical about it. So while you're out in L.A., obviously and then you were in a number of films. Road Trip is one of our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie's Angels, you got a fair amount of film work. Was that from where you were coming from, which is so avant-garde, and you were basically the main chef? Was that a little frustrating? Because we hear film work is hurry up and wait.
That wasn't too bad. I mean, Road Trip, it was exciting and fun.
Trip was a good experience?
Road Trip was the first movie I really did after the show was on MTV. So it was directed and written by Todd Phillips, who did the Hangover movies.
He's great,
So this was his first feature film.
And, you know.
You were Tom Green-esque in it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a scene where I have to feed a mouse to a snake in the movie, and the mouse, for whatever reason, ends up in my mouth. That wasn't actually in the script.
Really?
Yeah. You know, you can see when I'm, you see where I'm holding the mouse?
Yeah, there? Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Looking
yeah,
on the screen. Mm-hmm. You see how it kind of grabs my lip like that?
Yeah, yeah.
I sort of, that just sort of happened. We were improvising. And I realized it kind of wanted to go in there, so I just let it go in there.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, I'd never been in a movie before, and Ivan Reitman was one of the producers of the movie, or the producer of the movie, and, you know, I'm looking at Ivan Reitman on the set, and I got a mouse in my mouth, and I'm thinking, you know, am I doing a good job? Am I acting good here?
Is that one take?
Yeah, well, you know, the first take was one take, but then they made me do it 30 more times.
Oh, man. Now, mice crap all the time.
I didn't know you had to do that, you know.
Yeah,
mice are just crap machines.
Well, you did. Yeah. Crapped in your mouth. Yeah. I saw the outtake footage.
There's a little salty sort of enjoyment
there. Actually, one of my favorite scenes in that movie is when you're singing a song, and it's just this wild song that it feels like you're just making up, but then at one point, I think Sean William Scott is now singing along with it.
Yeah, yeah. The salmon song.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, tiny salmon swimming in a stream.
Mm-hmm.
The minor bird says, ah, ah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I wrote that. I asked me if they said there's a... Todd said, you know, there's a scene where you're going to have a guitar and then beginning the next scene, do you want to do a little song? And I wrote the song about 5 minutes before the
perfect.
As you can probably tell when you listen to it, it was written quickly. But
I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, you've covered some serious stuff over the years. Your testicular cancer was documented on the Tom Green Show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How's your ball now?
It's good.
Good.
Yeah. Well, the one is good.
Yeah.
That was right around the time.
Did you save the other one?
I took the right one. I still have the left one. It's. The middle one now. It's the middle one. Actually, it's the left one. It's the one that's left. Thank you.
No, but you probably, going through that, you probably saved some lives as well. You got people to get out and get checked.
Yeah, I have had a lot of guys come to my shows, you know, when I travel around the country, who come up to me after the show and say they went and got their... got checked after they saw the special. Sometimes it's a very emotional sort of meeting I have with these cancer survivors after my shows because they went to the doctor because they saw the show on MTV. Because, you know, it's testicular cancer. It only affects, like, guys, obviously, but, like, young guys, surprisingly young guys, like 15-year-old guys can get that. And so they were watching my show on MTV. 15 to 35 is really the age that you get that. You know, if you're that age, you don't really expect you're going to get cancer, so you feel something wrong. You don't. Sometimes you're embarrassed. You don't go to the doctor. But I think sort of a positive outcome from that.
That's
whole
cool.
experience. Yeah.
I wanted to ask. I saw on your left hand there, you've got bruised fingernails.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah. I could lie and say I was working on my roof or doing something real manly, hammering something, which is what I often do when people ask me. But what happened was I slammed my hand in a car door during a night of heavy drinking in Prince Edward Island, Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. So, yeah, I went out after one of my shows in Prince Edward Island. I had a couple of days off in Canada, and I thought, I wandered into a local dive bar and had a few shots of this stuff you got here, Fireball. Yeah.
And that was it.
And I ended up kind of getting a lift home for the bartender, actually offered me a lift home.
Wow, so you
were there that late.
You closed it out.
Yeah, yeah. And then we were driving back to the hotel, and you said, there's a great Chinese food place here. So I got out to get some Chinese food, and I slammed the car door, and I felt my how do you slam
your own hand
in a car door?
Yeah.
So that was about 3 months ago, actually.
Okay.
And it's clearing up pretty good.
Excruciating pain.
Yeah, it's pretty fun on the road, though. You know, we have a good time. You know, I don't drink every night, but I definitely
you partake.
You know, whenever I have a day off the next day, I always try to have some fun and get out and have a good time.
To that drinking thing, let me ask you, because a lot has been made recently, obviously, because Donald Trump's president. You were on Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump. He fired you.
Yeah.
But to me, the more interesting aspect of that story is you went out drinking with Dennis Rodman,
yeah.
which led to your being fired.
On the night I was the project manager.
So,
yeah. It's a serious position.
So, what is it like?
Pretty disrespectful to the president.
Partying with Dennis Rodman, who we just see as this mess lately.
Well, I heard he's doing well.
Is he doing well?
I saw on TMZ that he's sober now. Right. So, look, Dennis was a very cool dude, man.
Was he a cool dude?
He was a nice guy. And, you know, obviously everyone has, not everyone, but people have issues. And
yeah.
He had an issue with alcohol, I guess. It's been quite public about that. But, you know, listen, you know, how do you explain this? You know, these reality shows are weird, right? Like, they put you in a situation with a bunch of, you know, people, and everybody is very sort of stressed out and not very nice to each other. And Rodman and I kind of hit it off because I think he'd done a few of these reality-type shows before. I've been on television.
Right.
We kind of were maybe more media aware of what was going on. So it was kind of, whereas, you know, you had, like, you know, a lot of the other guys, like Scott Hamilton and Clint Black and Jesse James and Herschel Walker and whoever else was on there. Everyone was all mad at each other, you know? And so it kind of became a little bit annoying, you know, to be honest with you, being on the show and getting sort of yelled at every day by people, you know, or upset because you weren't making the cupcakes properly or some stupid reality show challenge.
I've heard people describe Dennis Rodman as sweet.
But yeah, he was nice. So at the end of the day, one day, he said, hey, you know, the camera was rolling on us. You know,
right.
You want to go out drinking tonight? And I'm like, yeah, let's go. And, you know, knowing that this was not going to be a good thing. So I get fired the next day. By the president.
Right? He crazy. I mean, he crazy. Like, he double fired
you. Yeah, he was mad at me. He screamed at me. So the day I got fired, I wrote a letter to the president of the United States. And I wrote a letter on the Trump Tower stationery because we were staying at Trump Tower. And I said, you know, I said, Mr. Trump, you know, I know I went out drinking last night the other night when I was the project manager. And I know that probably wasn't the most business-like decision to make, but I'm a comedian, and this is a television show, and I wanted to do something entertaining for the show because I want the show to be successful. And so, you know, I want you to be successful with the show. Best wishes with the season this year. Thanks for having me on, or something like that. So I got a call the next day from the producers, and they say, you know, Mr. Trump really appreciated your letter. And and they brought me back. They brought me back on the show. Oh. Now, and you know, they always bring people back at the end who've been fired previously. But,
yes.
But they never bring someone back who was fired in the third episode. So I think I have the distinction of being the earliest person to get fired to get brought back. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's anomalous.
It was interesting hanging out with the president, you know.
Yeah.
I know the president.
It's weird.
The president knows me.
Have you looked to parlay that? Have you dropped by 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
I don't know that I'd be welcomed with open arms.
Okay.
At this point,
it seems that you ended on a good note.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I don't really talk publicly about politics too much.
Yeah, we stay away from.
Yeah, I'm Canadian. This is your problem. But I do mention it in the show. I have some fun talking a little bit about. I just did the Comedy Central Storyteller. This Is Not Happening show on Comedy Central. They posted a clip of me talking about my experience on
Ari Shaffir's show, right?
Yeah. He's got a new host now. Actually, Roy Wood Jr. is hosting it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So, but Ari's great, anyway, so that's up on Facebook. Okay. Now you can see me doing stand up and talking a bit about that. There it is, right there. You got it on the web stream. So
okay,
yeah. So that's actually it's kind of cool when you know the president. it's fodder for a good story.
The president knows you.
Yeah, anyone who knows me should probably not be president.
Hey, you know what? Casey just pointed out something. You mentioned, do you still play guitar at all?
Just a little bit. Yeah,
we have a guitar. Do you want to make up a song on the spot? Or
you know, I'm not a very good guitar player, but I mean, a nice Martin there. I have a Martin. Yeah,
yeah, do you?
Yeah, I might be able to sing "Tiny Salmon Swimming in a Stream."
Oh, please, we'd be honored.
I have no idea if it's in tune or not.
We'll find out.
I won't be able to.
This mic over here.
Do you need a tune for Tiny Salmon?
In fact, slightly out of tune might be good.
Tiny salmon swimming in a stream.
salmon chasing the impossible dream. The minor bird says, ah! Ah! The chimpanzee says, the friendly owl says, ooh, ooh. But the salmon can only say, bloop, 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 bloop. And that's sad.
Yes!
There you go.
He still got it.
Probably in 10 years.
Wow. It's like somebody, the Who in Woodstock.
Somebody told, have you remember that song, What Does the Fox Say?
Yes. Yes.
Somebody told me that about that song. They said they thought it was a ripoff of the Slam Song.
It is.
It is.
Content-wise, it's very similar.
I don't know. I'm not bitter.
You know the president.
So are you enjoying, so stand-up is the center of what you're doing now. Is your ultimate passion? Doing
I love it. I started doing stand-up 30 years ago, actually, when I was a teenager.
Right.
At Yuck Yucks in Ottawa, Canada.
Yeah.
And I loved it then. I stopped when I was doing college radio at the time. I went back to school, studied broadcasting, stopped doing stand-up, started my show on public access, and kind of always missed doing it, but just got so focused on making the TV show for years that I did that. But I started up again about 10 years ago. And it was the best decision I ever made, I think, in my adult life to get back into doing stand-up. Gives
you the most freedom.
Yeah, and I've gotten to tour the whole world. You know, the cool thing about MTV is they put the show out around the world. So, like, last year I was, went performed in Israel for the first time.
Really?
I was in all over the UK. I've been in Australia, and I've really gotten to see, I've done USO tours. I went to Iraq and Afghanistan. And
where you received the best of all the countries?
Afghanistan, probably.
Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a show for the Taliban over there. So
the Taliban loved you.
Yeah. No, it was a military.
Did you tell that Trump story?
No, I mean, I think it's honestly the exciting thing about touring is it's a fun thing doing stand-up.
Yeah,
people come out to have fun. So I get a great response all over. I love being in the U.S. I mean, Americans do tend to have a little bit more, they wear their enthusiasm on their sleeve a little more than like in England and Canada. Everyone has a good time, but people are a little bit more reserved. Yeah, I mean, the shows this weekend in Philadelphia are going to be insane. You know, last time I played at Helium, the shows were just insane.
This is a
comedy town, and people, know how to have a good time. And, I think there's a confidence, up here on the East Coast in New York and Philly.
I agree.
You know, where people are kind of a little bit more outgoing in a way where, they vocalize it with their laughter.
Yeah.
In a way. So these are, it is great everywhere. I have a great time everywhere.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, listen, before we wrap it up, I do want to read a text that came in about Freddie Got Fingered. It says, hey, Tom, I was talking about Freddie Got Fingered. I have a story about that. When the movie was coming out, my friends and I just smoked a bunch of weed. And we're sitting in my basement flipping through the TV channels. And for a brief moment, as they were changing channels, I saw sausages hanging from a string while someone was playing the piano. And it was amazing. And the person was still flipping through the channels. And I said, go back. And that conversation took forever. So by the time they went back, it was in a commercial because we couldn't find it. And no one ever believed that I actually saw a guy with sausages on his fingers playing a piano. They thought I was nuts, and unfortunately, they still don't believe me.
Oh, my gosh.
Day.
Wow. Well, so, I can confirm that it happened.
It really happened. It really is there. Well, listen, Tom, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
Helium Comedy Club is where Tom's going to be. One show tonight, two shows tomorrow, and two on Saturday as well. And you can go to heliumcomedy.com. Thanks so much, man. We love you.
Thank you. Thank you. I love you guys. Thank you.
Tom Green, everybody. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I want to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast and hosting our 12th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. It's this Friday, JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers. Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're watching continuous footage of last year's Cardboard Classic on our monitors here up in the studio. The wipeouts are just the best.
Oh.
They're the best. So we'll see how those come up tomorrow. All right, our next guest is going to be performing at Punchline in Philadelphia. We welcome him back to our studio. Had a great time with him last time. Please welcome Chris Porter.
Yeah.
Into his A.
I'm back. The thing I love most about those fails is the people put weeks.
Months.
Oh, yeah. Months.
Yeah.
And literally a foot into the thing, it just falls apart.
There's no way for them to test it ahead of time.
That's it. That's the beauty of it.
That's the thing. They bring it up and they hope that their ingenuity is going to hold together. Yeah.
It's holding it together. Hope, mainly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, there's a set list of items you can use, including it's tape, cardboard,
string and glue.
String and glue.
And paint.
And paint if you want.
That's it.
But this is tomorrow, this event. And
yeah, we wanted you to come out there, dude.
Yeah,
we extended the invitation.
And I said, yes, there was a transportation issue.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, no, I was like, yeah, I'm in. What am I doing tomorrow? All me going out there does is, oh, that guy's pants came off.
Yeah.
Oh,
dude, people walk around with, snow rash on their
bleeding.
Ass. Like they had a motorcycle accident.
Can you put lotion on my snow rash? And it's, no, dude, just do it.
All right,
it's
fine. Kill the footage. It's going to distract us this whole time. We got to talk to Chris and see how he's doing. How have you been, man?
I've been great.
It's like a year or so since you've been here, I think.
Yeah.
In that neighborhood.
Yeah, a little over.
Yeah.
So. Very cool. So, and we were talking off air before we came on. I asked because, you do you have a band thing that you do periodically. You say you're doing it a little bit less, but you were in the recording studio recently with some legendary performers.
Who were you with? Some of the dudes from Skynyrd.
From Skynyrd.
Johnny Colt and Peter Keys. We recorded. You don't have stuff to do during the day in Atlanta, so we recorded music.
How did that happen that you ended up with,
I got super high and caffeinated one morning, and I posted on Instagram a picture of me playing guitar, video of me playing guitar, and he reached out and was like, we should record some music, and I was like, yeah, whatever, you're drunk.
He reaches out to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, whatever, sure, yeah, we should
reach out to you?
Johnny Colt.
From Skynyrd.
He played for the Crows. Yeah. And he played for... Yeah, there we are. And it was like dream camp. During the day, I would go to a studio, record music all day, and then they'd drive me to the Punchline.
Wow.
To tell jokes.
That's wild.
Was this new music you were recording or something?
We recorded there's a cartoon called the Squidbillies, and they do like a theme song. That is different every time. So we recorded a couple of those, and then we just did a cover. Okay. We didn't have a whole lot of time.
I got you.
I had to tell jokes.
You're a joking man.
I didn't have time to write songs.
Do you think at any point, had you have come to the proverbial career fork in the road, you would have gone full music?
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't really on the table at the time.
Yeah.
It's not like I was Bo Jackson, and they're like, football or baseball? comedy happened, and then years later, people are like, oh, you can sing. And I'm like, it's too late. Yeah. I'm already in this.
Right, right. God, Bo Jackson, you are from Kansas City, aren't you?
I'm from America.
Yeah.
Everyone from America knows who Bo Jackson is. He's the greatest player that will never be in the Hall of Fame.
That's cool. Yeah, well, we're still on a high here from obviously the Super
Bowl.
How
great was that? Literally, America was rooting for you.
Yeah. And it was so weird to have that because it's always the other way.
Yeah, America usually hates Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for good reason. I mean, let's look at the history books. Yeah. But seriously, literally, we're just like, please, just beat the Patriots.
And yeah.
The whole, you guys were up at half. Yeah. And we're like, here it comes. And then he held him off. And we're like, there you go.
Yeah.
Because everyone remembered the almost insane turnaround from the last time they were at the freaking Super Bowl.
Oh, you know, people in Atlanta were just pissed. They're just like, why did we do that?
Yeah. Well, I watched that Atlanta Super Bowl again. I don't know if it was the week leading up to the Super Bowl. No, it was the week after.
You're just checking out film.
Well, no, like, I couldn't get enough of football the week after the Super Bowl. And I had watched the Eagles game in a whole bunch of different iterations. But I had come across the second half of the Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl. And to be honest with you, the coaches lost that game for the Falcons.
Oh, I'm sure.
There was one play in particular where they should have run the ball, and they passed the ball, and they could have run more clock out, and they didn't. And so, you know, I feel bad because Matt Ryan is from this area. I don't want to get into a big sports discussion here, but Matt Ryan's from this area. I was definitely rooting for them. And they, you know, so that was the thing. They should have run the ball. They would have run the clock out, but they passed the ball, and then they had to pass the ball again, and then it took them out of field goal range. And they, you know, they were up by 8 points. One field goal would have just put the game out of reach.
Yeah.
Coach is awesome.
Dude, if this was round the horn, you just scored 13 points.
Oh, thank you.
Just FYI.
Do you get crazy over this stuff, or are you...
I don't get crazy over football just because the Chiefs have broken my heart. They're like my ex-girlfriend with drug problems. Like, every year, they come back. They're like, we fixed it. Everything's great. We're no longer on drugs. I've been clean for all offseason. And they even give you 5 good weeks where you're like, they're doing it. They did it. It's going to stick this time. And then January comes around, your mom's car is missing. They're losing games. $30 is missing from your wallet.
And you're right back
Andy
in
Reed,
it.
Yeah. Every time.
Well, Preston grew up a St. Louis Blues fan, you know? Yeah. And
I'm from St. Louis originally.
And they made the playoffs every year.
Every year.
And then never went anywhere afterwards.
Same thing.
You know?
That's what I loved about the Royals. Awful for 20 years, win a World Series, back to awful. Yeah. Like, they're just like, we're just in and we're out. We're not going to hang out and break your heart.
You almost, that gives you, that actually takes the onus off the fan to have to worry and go through the mental problem of what's it going to be.
Absolutely. Do you know how easy a football season is for the Cleveland Browns fans?
Yes.
They're just like, how's it going to be this year? Terrible. Just like it has been for the last couple decades.
Right, right.
And man, I can't wait.
What do you think about the parade that they had? Their Cleveland fans celebrated the 0-16 season, and some fans were, you know, it was a tongue-in-cheek joke celebration, obviously. But some fans were pissed that other fans celebrated how terrible the team was.
Why? Have a sense of humor.
Thank you.
Like, those are the people that get upset about that are the same people who have a Browns bus that their kids aren't going to college because they bought this bus that they drive 8 weeks a year, and they rally up all the people from their transmission shop to pile in, and they go and they're like, yeah! And then they get mad when the Browns lose, even though they knew that's what was going to happen.
Right?
And then it ruins their whole Sunday. They're at home.
That's why I never have an issue with someone who they call a bandwagon jumper, because, you know, it actually makes it easier to handle when you're not having a, you know, because Casey really, he'll go through the ringer. I see him.
That's why this season, Steve and Chris, and hey, everybody in the room, that's why this season was so great, because this whole season we were playing with house money. This whole season, everybody thought that the Eagles were going to be like 7-9, 8-8 at best. And then we won the Super Bowl.
Well, when the Royals won the World Series, I was like, first off, I was alone in a hotel room in Tampa, so it wasn't the best time for that to go down. But it was just like, maybe that's why, but like, we won the World Series, and I was like, yeah! Now what?
Yeah. Oh, that happened here?
So long, it was like, man, if the Royals just won the World Series, that'd be the greatest, and then it happened, and it was like, okay.
Yeah.
I still got to go to work tomorrow. This is the worst. I thought that winning the World Series would change my life, but no, I just have a new shirt.
What'd you do after? Are you by yourself? And
I was alone in Tampa, Florida the night. I was the only Royals fan hoping we lost game 5.
Okay.
Because I'm literally looking at tickets online for Game 6.
Right.
I'm spending the money, whatever it takes. I'm just, everything I made in Tampa was going to a ticket.
Right.
And then Hosmer decides to steal home. I was so mad. So we win, and I'm literally, everyone from Kansas City's calling me, and I'm mad. Yeah. I'm literally like, I don't want to talk to you. Because all I hear is, well, we did it! We did it! Everybody's getting laid! And I'm sitting in a hotel room. And Tampa's basically South New York.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't even out and have a beer.
Yeah.
Because someone just might beat the crap out of me out of angst.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and, like, even to this day, like, I'll see someone with a Mets hat that has the World Series logo.
Yeah.
And we have the same color. So I'll be like, oh, Royals hat. And they'll turn around like, oh, my bad. Sorry, man. little more of a worse memory for you.
It is funny, though. You bring up, you know, I did stand up for a number of years and was going around. And
we miss you, by the way.
Thank you. Many was the time when you're in a hotel when something, for holidays or whatever, you're just in a hotel. Yeah. I'm not a drinker, so I'm not, it's not going to be a part of the deal. But how much do you end up... Obviously, you experience a lot of other stuff, but how much do you end up missing because you're on the road so much?
A lot.
Yeah.
But it's also, that's it. Life. I don't work 5 days a week.
That helps.
I work an hour a day.
Where were you for the Super Bowl this year?
I was in L.A.
Okay. Yeah.
I flew in and, that's the one thing about the Super Bowl, no comedy.
Yeah.
So I always get to fly home and watch it.
Because Ari Shaffir had, he was in Philadelphia that weekend and he purposely stayed here because he's like, no matter what, win or lose, I'm going to see a show somewhere in Philadelphia.
He wants to see a car flipped over.
This town will burn regardless.
That's what he was saying. He wanted to be in the middle of it.
Yeah. So I wasn't, somebody who travels for... their gig, like next year, Atlanta is where the Super Bowl is. Why not be...
See, I'm the exact opposite. I avoid that at all costs.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, like, if I'm in the town of this... Like, he was in Philly, but the Super Bowl wasn't here.
Right.
That's different. Right. I was in Dallas the weekend they had the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And it was just... It's like Area 51 all weekend. It's like a Will Lockdown. Smith movie. Yeah, there's like cops everywhere. And the morning I left of the Super Bowl, like the radio sounded like War of the Worlds. They're like, do not go anywhere near the thing if you do not have proper business, blah, 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 blah. And it was just, I need to get out. And the thing about that weekend, it snowed in Dallas. Like, Dallas was the only city to lose money having the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because they had all these parties planned, and the night everyone was supposed to party, it snowed 5 inches.
Wow.
Which in Dallas is...
It crippling.
Ends, yeah. Like, Fort
My dad
Worth,
lives there.
Fort Worth had the plow that weekend, so they were super hosed. And I remember Tommy Lee was on my flight. Flying coach. And we're flying to Dallas. His party... He had to get paid at least 30 grand just to go there. And his party got canceled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He gets paid anyway.
He absolutely gets paid.
And he's flying coach. Were you in first class?
No.
Yeah.
No, I was fun. In coach. Although, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe some people are very
picky. Sometimes you get upgraded.
Sometimes you get upgraded.
I got upgraded yesterday. I watched Tom Green go to coach. I felt bad for him. I was like, hey, You're already passing. Yeah. I was going to say hello, but you're going back with the pores.
Will you go to someone in first? I'm always like, Preston and I were on a flight and Wanda Sykes came on, and we're like,
I won't go up to somebody I'm sitting there. And, most comics, I'll walk on. I'll be like, oh, Kreischer, what up? And
then
we hold up the line for 5 minutes while we make jokes.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not the guy. I'm not going to, in the middle of a flight. First off, if I'm awake past takeoff, something's gone horribly wrong with my popcorn. So,
who's the coolest? Because with all the flying you do, and you spend a lot of time in airports, who's the coolest person you've seen?
Person I've met, hands down, and is surprising, is Kid Rock.
Kid Rock?
I didn't meet him on a plane.
Yeah.
I did his cruise, and we've since become friends.
Really?
Like, that's a dude that's worth, he's got his own plane. But he also blows his own driveway.
He's
just the most down-to-earth dude on the planet.
I was stunned. I forget. I've seen estimates of how much he's worth, and it's all over the place, but it's all a lot.
He's fine.
Yeah. It's funny, because as a human being, I do like him, but when he rhymed things with things on a song that he had covered off of...
Yeah.
And
I was like, oh,
but here's the thing about it.
That.
He'll admit it.
Yeah.
He'll be like, yeah, that was stupid. That was real. I ride things with things.
But people worked, love it.
And it sold, and it sold 80 million records. Yeah. So I'm fine with it. Yeah. So it's like there's nothing. And right now he goes out on tour. I give him crap because he was like, oh, every Friday and Saturday I'm out on tour. I'm like, look at you with a part-time job. Working Fridays and Saturdays.
With his own plane.
Yeah.
Last time you were here, you ended up telling us a story about hanging out with Justin Verlander, right?
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you've hung out with anybody else on that level just accidentally. Because that story was amazing.
Yeah. Through Kid Rock, I played golf with Chris Chelios.
Really? Oh, really?
Which was like, it's huge for a lot of people. I could care less.
No kidding.
I grew up in Kansas. Hockey was like a sport that people in St. Louis talked about.
Right.
Like,
yeah, right.
Like, it's just like, I heard of it.
Oh, we hated Chris Chelios.
Yeah. And so like.
He was hated here in Philly as well, by the way.
So like, I went to play golf with Kid Rock in L.A. And he was like, this is your partner. His name's Chris Chelios. I was like, oh, I've heard the name. It's good to meet you. And as soon as he realized that I wasn't a hockey goon,
yeah,
and I didn't want to ask him 1,000 questions, we were best friends.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And so, yeah, we talked crap all week.
What we learned about you is that you're kind of like a leaf on the water. Just good, gets into these. You flow along. You get into these situations.
Life gets super weird sometimes,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, when you're playing beer pong with Justin Verlander in your parents' basement
with Mumford and Sons.
With Mumford and Sons.
Yeah,
sorry. I forgot about the second half of that story.
Yeah. Actually, to be fair, it was just and Sons.
Okay,
Mumford wasn't there.
He was. No.
He was somewhere writing a song that at some point goes. which, by the way, and Sons guys, not fun guys,
cool guys,
yeah. Hang out. Yeah, not as down to earth
as a Kid Rock,
but yeah, they definitely hang out with you
a lot of times.
Like, I saw one of them a year later at a bar in L.A., and I was like, "Hey, man, I don't know if you remember." And he was like, "Oh, I remember you." And we talked, and then I ended up going to yet another Mumford and Sons concert
against your wishes.
By the way, if you ever want to kill 15,000 white people in one fell swoop, that's where you do it.
That's where you drop the bomb.
Yeah, you're not killing any minorities at a Mumford and Sons concert unless they happen to be working security.
By the way, Mumford and Sons has snuck into my top five favorite bands.
Wow.
I know. I'm sort of ashamed to say it,
but
at the same time.
I'll send you some Chardonnay.
Yeah.
You can just hang out and wait to become a woman.
I've gotten soft in my old age.
Listen, they're super nice guys. Love having drinks with them. The 90 minutes they're on stage.
I love it.
It's
dude, you're not going to get free tickets anymore.
No, they know.
Oh,
they know.
In fact, they probably appreciate that you're not a fanboy.
Well, they plugged in for that very reason. They're like, oh, man.
It's a good show. Like, it's a fun show. I go, I'm never bored. I'm having a good time. Every once in a while, I'll sing along. Because, you know, those are the words.
Yeah. They make fun of themselves.
Absolutely.
They had that video that they put out a few years ago, and it was Ed Helms and Will Forte and Ed Sudeikis, I think, were in it. And they were pretending to be Mumford and Sons.
And they're huge comedy guys. Like, they'll call me like, hey, we're going to UCB. You want to go? I'm like, I guess.
But just like Kid Rock rhyming things with things, they're selling out, you know, every tour that they do. They're laughing all the way to the bank.
Absolutely. I remember he told me he did a Twitter like Q&A one time.
Mumford did?
Or Ed Sons? Kid Rock did.
Oh.
And someone's like, why are you trending? And his tweet back was classic. He goes, I'm worth $80 million. I own my own plated beer company. Tell your mom to stop texting me.
Wow. That's the ultimate revenge, right? Yeah. Your own plane and $80 million. I wanted to ask you about, are you doing the, are you working on that Joel McHale show?
My sister is.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Because he's doing like
it's basically the old show
Talk Soup, right, for Netflix. But
for intellectual rights, it's not the same show.
All right,
because they don't own that name.
Similar format though,
but it's the same show.
Yeah, okay.
But I love the fact that he just called it the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale. It's like we know what it's about now.
Yeah. And your sister, does she write for other shows?
She's a producer, yeah. Okay. So my sister's actually one of the funniest people I know.
Yeah?
Yeah. She just doesn't want to do stand-up. She doesn't want to be in my shadow.
Yeah.
She wants to just do her own. Like, and then she said, she was like, if I do stand-up, I'll always be Chris Porter's sister no matter how good I am.
Right.
So she's going to forge her own thing.
Did she hook up with Ann Sons?
No.
Wasn't there somebody at that hangout that ended up hooking up with one of the dudes from Mumford & Sons?
No. I mean, you can write that in if you want to. I made out with a keyboardist, but that was more for dominance.
I guess I'm misremembering, but I thought you said something about there was a girl at that party that ended up hanging out with Mumford & Sons, or the Sons part of Mumford & Sons.
No. I mean, my sister was there, but, I mean, we were already at my parents' house. It had been weird for her to leave.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and I think they're all dating actresses.
Okay. And models.
Yeah, literally, I think they went to the Golden Globes and just said, I'll take that one,
right?
And I'll have that one.
Okay. Well, Mumford himself is with
Carey Mulligan.
I don't know who that is, but I'm sure she's hot.
She played Daisy in The Great Gatsby, the boss Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, I don't see movies about books. Hey, you want to see a movie about a book you should have read in high school? Absolutely not. Back to the Future 2 it is.
Oh, my God. That's phenomenal. Wow.
Chris is playing, in case you're just tuning in, it's Chris Porter. He's going to be at Punchline Philly. You got a show tonight, too, on Friday and Saturday. PunchlinePhilly.com to get the tickets. You got any friends in Philadelphia? Anybody that you meet up with while you're here? Or?
No, but
just us.
Any pretty ladies that want to make a friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're single?
I am. It's a new thing.
All right. It's a new thing.
How new?
5 months.
Wow, that's pretty new.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you terminate?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did. It was an age thing. She was 20-something.
Really?
Which is fun for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he realized, every reference I make, I have to explain.
Yeah. Right. And people say, can't you get past that? Like, I always tell people, I've been married now for 21 years.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of time you spend sitting on the couch watching TV and hanging out, and conversation is going to be critical.
Yeah, and I think you can have an age difference, but you have to have other things. There were other differences also, like she was from California. I'm not insane. Like, right. It's different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, right. But yeah, so I had to walk away from it. I thought I did it courteously. She begs to differ.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so now I'm out and about.
You still communicate? You guys still friends?
I'm fine. She... Apparently, I broke her.
You broke her, man.
Is what she screamed at me as I walked away.
Ouch. Wow.
So, what do you say to that? Like, I'll send some glue.
Yeah.
I don't sniff it.
It's hard to follow that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It wasn't my intent.
Yeah. You stole my mother's car.
But would you rather me break you or waste 20 years of your life?
Ooh.
That's a good response.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
Damn it.
But I thought it really hard.
As soon as I got in the car, I was like, should I text it?
Well, listen, I have some tickets to see Chris's show tonight, the 8 o'clock show at Punchline, and I can give away 5 pair of these tickets right now. How about that? You have to be at least 21 to go to the show. 215-263-WMMR is the number. So let's get you on board, and we will put you on that list. And if you come back next year, come out to our Cardboard Classic with us. We'll get you proper
transportation. It's going to be like a helicopter.
All right.
Get you a helicopter.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, great to see you, Chris.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Enjoy your time in Philly.
Thank you.
Chris Porter.
Yeah!
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay put.
93.3 WMMR and Victory Brewing Company presents Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic, Friday, March 2nd at Jack Frost Mountain. Think you can build a sled to conquer the tubing hill and make the finish line? Or maybe it'll fall apart, but look cool enough to score a prize. Get your sled registered now at WMMR.com. $1,000 cash prize for best design, beer for a year for best victory sled, and $500 for the fastest. Plus, get in a full day on the slopes with the $9.33 lift ticket special, available through February 28th at noon, but only while supplies last. So get them before they're gone at WMMR.com. Cap off the day at our Victory Homegrown Happy Hour with Victory Brewing Company, brewers of your new American lager. It's Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I'm watching Nick just pulled up on our Instagram account, on MMR's Instagram account, And it is the infamous moment when Pierre went down on the double-decker.
Oh, boy.
Bus and it wrecked, and that was the day that we ended the double decker.
Yeah.
Double decker sleds. But it's just in a massive heap at the bottom of the ground, and there are they had set off fireworks. They had set off like a Roman candle.
Yes.
And after this thing is crashed and lying in a heap, you can see the rounds popping off from the fireworks as it's laying on the ground. And it just keeps shooting. Pierre on the ground in a mess.
Because,
oh my God.
Preston, what good are injured people if you can't set them on fire?
Right, right. There's got to be more. So what will tomorrow be? I don't know. You never know until you get there and you see it happen.
I keep having visions of like a Woodstock in the, you know, in the slime and the mess, and just no matter what, we'll have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, as you reported earlier, the shifting weather report says we might be dealing with snow wind.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Snow wind.
Rain tonight.
Rain. Snow wind.
Yeah. We get rain, snow.
Rain, snow.
Then snow wind.
Then snow wind.
And that's by the time we start, with the snow wind will be kicking in. The snow is going to start in the morning at 5, 6 a.m., something like that. So we might get a little dusting to help out, which a fresh coat would be nice.
Spectators will be closer now to the run than they've ever been before because we are just dealing with two lanes, right?
Yeah, there's been a lack of snow. It's been too warm. So there are only two lanes that are going to be open. The run is going to be what's the word I'm looking for?
Percolated?
No, not percolated.
Recalcitrant?
It's going to be a little recalcitrant tomorrow. Yeah. So just like
what are you trying to say?
It's going to be modified.
Okay, modified. That's what I'm
looking for. Placental.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we do actually have a weather model, if you want, who's coming out.
Yeah.
She's coming anyway. So she said, if you want, she can stand outside and check in.
That's what we're going to do. Casey said, you know, that they in preparation for any event, you check the weather models to see how they're playing out. So we actually have a model that's going to be our weather model. It's just a good-looking girl who's going to be outside telling us what the weather is.
One of our calendar girls.
That's our
weather
model.
Let's just say she's an expert at splashing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. All right, so that's taking place tomorrow. Hoping to see you there. Let's do the B-File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning, the Bizarre File is brought to you by Victory Brewing Company. If you're headed up for the Cardboard Classic today, join Victory Brewing at Shenanigans, like I was saying, and enjoy their homegrown lager, Forefront IPA, and Golden Monkey. The party starts at 7:30. Music by The Mighty Three at 9 p.m. A woman in Nevada who reportedly carried a pickaxe as she shouted threats at a playground where hundreds of children were playing has been arrested.
Was she playing some sort of weird game?
Kistel Kilho was allegedly carrying the hand tool and screaming threats as she climbed a chain-link fence around noon on Tuesday to enter Tom Williams Elementary School playground in North Las Vegas. You should see the mugshot of this woman.
Oh, I'm sure
she looks insane.
Oh, my God!
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow.
She looks like the guy who drives the tow truck in go to White Castle.
Harold Kumar?
Yes, Harold Kumar, the guy who drives the pickup truck. That's insanely ugly.
Yeah.
Did she put on her makeup with the pickaxe?
There were 200 children on the playground during the incident, which Kilho was shouting she was going to murder everyone.
Oh.
When officers reportedly arrived a minute later, Kilho jumped off the fence, dropped the pickaxe, and suddenly surrendered peacefully.
This is Daryl Hall's slower brother.
And she was possibly under the influence of drugs.
So
Daryl Hall's slower.
Right? I'm a man, you
In a letter sent home to parents, principal said that Kilho did not harm anyone or cause any damage to the school and was reported to police. And staff and students noticed her. Arrest records show Kilho was into custody on charges of assault with a deadly weapon.
There she is, Preston. That's her.
In Australia, we've all heard of snakes on a plane, but one family entered a whole new world of terror when a baby eastern brown snake was found hiding inside a child's lunchbox.
Mm.
The discovery was made by a mother on Monday as she stood inside a pantry packing her child's food. The woman placed an apple and two other snacks in the lunchbox before she realized the snake was hiding inside the lip of the lid.
I would always trade my snakes when my mother would pack them for me.
Raleigh Burrell from Snake Catchers Adelaide Said the infant reptile looked innocent but could still inflict serious damage with its venom. He said it was an eastern brown snake. They're classified as the second deadliest brown snake in the world.
Oh, man. And when from what I hear, when venomous snakes are younger, they're more deadly for a couple of different reasons. Their venom is more concentrated, and they also, at least with rattlesnakes, when they latch on, they don't know to let go.
Okay.
So they'll
stupid
just
keep, young snakes.
They'll just keep pumping venom into you.
They have venom within their first couple of weeks when they come out of the egg, and this one maybe was 2 weeks old, so it could have been deadly for a child. A married middle school science teacher has been arrested for allegedly conducting a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old male student. Now, Steve and I had a conversation about this morning. Now, it's a 14-year-old male student, and obviously some serious, you know,
that's wrong.
Mental scars can happen from someone, an adult, sending pictures.
Yes.
Especially if they're naked. But I have to show you a picture of the woman that
the
was
teacher?
Sending.
No way.
Yeah, she's smoking hot.
I mean, obviously she's badass crazy, but
that's the teacher.
How old is she?
She's 26.
I mean, it really, there's a lot to be talk about, but it really begs the question, she's hot enough to get anybody at any
that's
age.
What I'm wondering, why, you know, there's, exactly,
she's broken.
All right, so yeah. Stephanie Peterson, 26, was arrested on Wednesday morning in New Smyrna, Florida, after the boy allegedly confided in his parents. The eighth grader told them that Peterson, who's married, and her last name is Ferry, picked him up occasionally from their home at 11 p.m. and often spent hours with him in private afterwards. He also said that she sent him nude photographs of herself and that she had bought him marijuana and a bowl to smoke it in.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Listen, there's no two ways about it. What she did is wrong. But
on the superficial level,
in eighth grade, it would have been it was the type of woman that I would have fantasized about.
Oh, yes. And she can fish.
This is a picture of her holding a fish. The boy is said to have told his parents that the relationship was making his grades suffer.
No doubt.
She resigned.
There's no blood in his brain.
She resigned from the job on Monday, a day before she was arrested. And according to the boy, Peterson told him that she could not tell anyone about the relationship when they were together alone.
See, when we were growing up, Preston, the teachers that got involved in this all looked like the pickaxe chick.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, you never had this.
I mean,
did this not happen when we were growing up?
It
or did
happened.
We just not know about it?
It happened, but it happened with the pickaxe chick.
Yeah, that's it. It didn't happen with women this hot.
It's never a Sports Illustrated model holding a bass.
Yeah. All right, what else I got here for you? How about this? Some people are just not fans of naked folks. People living in the Eden RV Resort and City Retreat in Hudson, Florida, say they're having problems with a substitute mail carrier who refuses to deliver packages because they're nudists there. Residents of the clothing optional compound said a post office manager told them the mail carrier isn't required to enter their community if nudity offends her.
Well, don't think isn't there a mailbox on the outside? Or
I'm not really sure.
Well, has to put the mail in their ass?
Well, it's an RV center, so probably has to go to each location and drop them off there, so I don't know. An 18-year-old Eastern York High School student is accused of threatening to shoot up the school on Monday. Brennan Michael Schenck is charged with misdemeanor counts of terroristic threats and disorderly conduct. The school district issued a statement explaining that a student was arrested after missing. Administration received a tip and investigated the report of threats. Three students heard him talk for about 5 minutes about shooting up the school, but he went a step further. He said he was going to shoot up the school with a rocket launcher.
Oh boy.
One student said Schenck said that he would bring two rocket launchers to the school to blow it up. I don't think he can get rocket launchers.
They're harder to get than you would think.
Schenck denied making threats and saying anything about a gun, rocket launcher, or other weapon. His mother told police he doesn't have any guns, and his father told police that he has guns for hunting secured in a safe.
You know who didn't make threats at the school? The 14-year-old with the super hot Sports Illustrated Fisher chick.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you. In the bizarre file this morning, we do need to take a break. Casey's handing me something to give away, and I have a case of Yard Tales of the Revolution. And I'll take call number 15 at 215-263-WMR. By the way, Yards recreated the beer recipes of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Ben Franklin in their Ales of the Revolution variety pack.
It's a cool idea.
Brew into others and pick up a case at Creston Wine and Spirits in Middletown. We'll be back in just a moment.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
For Poconos, we're looking at rain overnight tonight. In fact, not just overnight, it'll begin this evening. And that eventually segues into snow in the early morning hours. And by early morning, I mean 7 a.m., 6, 7 a.m., something like that. And it's going to be windy and snowy by the time we get the Cardboard Classic.
Snow wind
started tomorrow. Snow wind will be taking place. So just letting you be aware of all of that as you're headed up tonight, hopefully. Or you're making that trek early in the morning and meeting us up there. And remember, get there early if you can, because parking's a bit of a chore at this event. It's not made for events this big.
It is not. It's the biggest event of the year.
And we would love for you to be there. But just a heads up that parking, if it's your first time out, is going to be a little bit interesting. All right, two things I want to do real quick. I know we have a guest on the line before we get to the lesson question, but there's also a piece of audio that I wanted to play.
Yes, from the Goldbergs last night.
Yeah, what should I do first? Should I go to our guest or should I play our audio first?
Your call.
All right, so there's a lot of clips here, Steve.
From the Goldbergs last night.
Yeah, there's six of them.
So let's go to our guest first.
Okay, let's do that then. All right, so we made an announcement earlier this morning that for the first time in the history of the Preston and Steve show, we are going to be broadcasting live from Clearwater, Florida for Phillies spring training, which is happening as we speak. We'll be at the Spectrum Field.
Yes.
And we are going to be broadcasting live Friday, March 16th. And we've picked the right spot to do it. We're going to be at the Frenchie's Tiki Pavilion in left field. And then after that, after our broadcast, you can come and hang out with us.
Yeah.
The doors open at the stadium around 10:35, so we'll just be wrapping up our show. And you can come by and hang out. We're going to be right there at the Tiki Pavilion. And especially for those we've never met before who might live in Florida and we never, ever, ever get to see, buy a ticket to the game, come out and see us.
It's a Florida sit-around.
Absolutely. And if you're, of course, from Philly and you're headed down that way, we want to see it too. So let's welcome the director of fun and games of your Philadelphia Phillies. And he's already actually there in Clearwater. It's John Brazier.
Yay!
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Braze, how are you?
I'm doing great. Now, I was thinking about it. When you guys are the Y100... You know, I've been working with you guys for how many years? And this is the first time we're going to get you down here. So yeah. I am very, very, very excited to have you down here because you will have, hopefully you'll have a day like today where it's, what time is it now? 10:11, mm-hmm. And it is 75 degrees.
Nice.
Beautiful weather. The players are on the field, the stretching, taking, out in the outfield, throwing the balls around. It's an unbelievable atmosphere down here and really excited for you guys.
Now, I know, John, you love to get out there and watch the players stretch. It's kind of your thing.
Yes, you're exactly right.
And listen, John, we're going to be down there for the big weekend. It's St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Well, we've somehow managed to convince somebody in Major League Baseball that every home game, every St. Patrick's Day has to be a home game for the Phillies. And I'm dead serious. My 25 years of the Phillies, we've never had a road game for St. Patrick's Day. And this place, you'll see the Frenchie's Tiki Bar, which you've seen on TV,
yeah,
out in left field. That place is packed already in any normal game. Today we play the Yankees, and it's going to be a mob scene out there. St. Patty's Day, we sell out even the standing room only. The seats on the berm are, you can't see a blade of grass.
Wow.
It's unbelievable, St. Patty's Day. So it's a really fun time to come down. Even at the game before, we play the Blue Jays on that the game that you're coming down Friday. And that's going to be a big crowd, obviously, coming in from St. Patty's Day. So it's going to be a really fun weekend.
Very excited. You've always touted, the fun of going down. Nick, you said you've been down twice. Casey, you have as well?
Yeah, I went down. John and I spent a weekend together. Took me to a really nice restaurant in Tampa called Mons Venus.
Yes.
And great seafood there.
Yeah, a lot of seafood. A lot of tacos,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, good fish tacos.
Yeah.
The fish tacos.
So, John, when you're out in the Tiki Bar, you're at Frenchie's. For people who have never been there before, what is that like? Because you're in left field, right?
Yeah, you're in left field, and there's seats all around the bar, obviously, but most people stand. Now, when you guys are there, I believe that's NCAA basketball tournament will be in full effect right there. So it's even nuts there because the game, it's actually opening day weekend, and again, I didn't check the schedule, but the TVs are on there, so you get all these people that are screaming for whatever, game is on, and then you normally have just tons of people out there anyway. So, I mean, it's a big party scene, and we have a band.
after the game, there's always a band that plays out on a platform. One year we had Blackthorn for St. Patty's Day,
nice,
which was complete chaos. But it's just it's fun. Everyone wears green, obviously. The players wear the green jerseys that day, and that was all started tradition by Tug McGraw that convinced the team to do that many years ago. So it's a really fun time. And Nick and Casey have been down here. You'll know that the town itself, Clearwater, is one of the best spring training sites in all of baseball. The town of Clearwater Beach, the beaches are spectacular. The restaurants, the bar scene. And it really is. It's Philly takes over at Clearwater. It's Philly South.
That's what a lot of people are saying. So it's definitely it's something I've kind of always flirted with doing, and now we're going to do it. And you know what? Again, there's just a general excitement in all the sports here in Philadelphia, and the promise of the Phils, and obviously the Flyers are doing great, and the Sixers. There's obviously everyone keying off the Super Bowl win. And I'm sure you're sensing that as well. Everyone's incredibly excited for this season.
Well, I talked to a couple of players this morning, and they had, you probably saw in the news that last week when camp opened, Jason Kelce came down here.
Yes.
And he gave a speech, and the players were all fired up. And there's all these guys are all in on Philadelphia. They all come from California, Texas, what have you. But when they play for the Phillies and put on the uniform, they're a supporter of the local team. So we're going to have Torrey Smith coming down to the game on Sunday, and then we're going to have Trey Burton. He's going to be throwing out the first pitch on the 13th. So I was talking to somebody here. I said, we're going to have to do reenact a little Philly special, but do it from the mound. Have maybe the guy who's going to pitch before Trey Burton give it to Trey, then Trey gives the throw down to the catcher.
It'd be cool. You'd be one for the history books.
Yeah,
exactly right. So it's really fun. You know, again, everyone's all fired up. That's all people are talking about, the Eagles. The players are.
Nice. Yeah.
It's kind of cool to see that.
So we're going
to
set up shop Friday, March 16th, and we'll be in Frenchie's, and we're going to, we'll start our show at the regular time. We'll be on at 6 a.m., and we'll wrap it up around 10:30 or so, and that's when the stadium opens up. If you got a ticket to the game, they're going to be playing the Blue Jays that day. It's a 1 o'clock game, so come down early. Have, some lunch and a couple of beers and hang out with us. And we'd love to meet you. And I'm hoping to get some people we've never met before. And, of course, the regulars that maybe are headed down. But I'd love to see some people that are streamers or podcasters in Florida area come by as well and hang out for a bit. And then you hang out and you'll watch the game. And this could be a good time. John, are you going to be down there while we're there?
Oh, yeah. I'm here the whole time. And I got to say, too, one last thing is that Gabe Kapler, our new manager, I'm sure you guys have read a lot about him, and you've had him.
Yeah, sure. Had him out to the camp out. Yeah.
Yeah, he has really created a fun atmosphere down here. Every hallway has a different speaker, has different music blasting. So you might come down one hallway and you hear, I heard Bob Marley on one hallway coming down to the weight room, and there's music everywhere. He's having a ping pong table brought in tomorrow, and he's going to have a ping pong tournament, which I'm helping to set up for the players. There's going to be a talent show that he's going to have for all the different players, that have different talents, and some like serious prizes for the people that have the best talents. And I mean, he's really made it a really fun atmosphere down here. That and the guys are buying into it. It's great.
Hey, the guy took the time to learn Christmas songs, even though he's Jewish, to play our contest.
Yeah, nice. He really loves
music. Awesome. So
all right. Excellent. John, so we'll urge people to get tickets through phillies.com, and that'll be on March 16th if you want to come to that Friday game. Then obviously the St. Paddy's game is a big one. We'll see you when we get down there, John.
All right, can't wait to get you guys down here.
All right, bud, we'll see you. Bye-bye. John Brazier.
Yeah.
And we will be there 2 weeks from, we'll be leaving 2 weeks from today.
That's right.
To get down there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you, like I said, get tickets if you're going to be down that way and come out and see us. We'd love to hang out with you. All right. So the Goldbergs had a special. It was called Hail Barry.
Yes, it was a special move, that special play that Barry had designed, mm-hmm. where he is the quarterback who actually catches his own pass.
Right.
So that would be a Hail Barry. He would throw it, run downfield, and catch it.
All right.
So. But he wanted to be on the team. But in the beginning, Preston, I was like, oh, my God, this is right up Casey's alley. Because Casey always talked about the Super Bowl Shuffle and then the Eagles song that they did.
Buddy's Watching You.
And they did a whole segment at the beginning of it focusing in on that.
All right, so here is, it says here, the Eagles Shuffle new verse. All right, we'll see what it is. Yeah. Here we go.
And after the Bears, a ton of NFL teams made rap videos, including our beloved Philadelphia Eagles.
Quick six, wide receiver. I thought their name was a joke, but I made them all believers.
See, that's how an NFL team is supposed to rap.
The Eagles have a subtlety the Bears can only dream about.
And yet, I still sense opportunity for improvement. What it needs is real stars.
Name's Big Tasty, I bust a move. Also, my skin is silky and smooth.
I'm Naked Rob, and I make the tackle. I cover my receiver like a wall with spackle.
It's Creamy Jeff Schwartz, got hands with no match. Just throw me the ball, and I'll make the catch.
Watch out, world, we're causing a kerfuffle. We wrap our rhymes and do the JTP shuffle.
JTP shuffle.
Yeah.
Taking down pot.
And so they, I mean, it was just right out of, you know, all of that stuff, which is very cool, too, because at the end of the game, and at the end of the episode, they had the actual JTP pressed, and all the adults grown up played a game with the TV JTP, the actors, and so they had an actual game, and it was great. Yeah, you saw the kid actors and their counterparts on the field together.
That's cool, man.
By the way, I've been emailing back and forth with an actual member of the JTP.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Was he here, Case?
Matt Bradley?
Yeah.
He's the deadhead. He's the newest member of the JTP.
I found out after the fact that he came in and watched the show one morning.
I had no idea.
Right.
But he was listening. He heard Adam on the show with us right before the Super Bowl.
That's funny.
Yep.
Any other clips you want to play?
I don't know what's over there. I don't know what you grabbed, but
let's
hit one or two.
This is, how about the high school shuffle song?
Okay, this is the one okay.
All right.
Big Tasty, wide receiver. I catch the ball like a golden retriever. Unlike those dogs, I don't have bad hits. I fly down the field for a touchdown trip. Ruben Jr., quarterback. I move so fast, I can't get sacked. I pass the ball through the air. Come see me play, pull up a chair.
Is this the team, his high school football team?
Yes,
his
high school football team with Ruben Amaro Jr. is on the football team as well.
All right.
Sergei Tarbakin, miss. I kick field goals.
Oh, my God.
Am I nervous? Yeah, I suppose.
Where the hell is everybody?
That's an actual lyric from Buddy's Watching You.
Oh, is it?
Luis Sendejas, I kick field goals. Am I nervous? Yeah, I suppose.
So I didn't even catch that. And then Brian Kalen comes in as Coach Mellon.
Mellon's watching you. He's watching. Yes, he's watching. Quakers fight on. Quakers fight on.
They are really going to regret this.
Don't you're going to make our coach angry.
Why the hell is my team dancing with so little rhythm and not out on the field doing drills?
Well, as team leader, I thought we could use a little bonding.
I made it clear that you ride the pond.
But my brother said you were testing me like you saw in the movies.
This is real life, son, where people of your meager skill set don't play, don't win, and don't get carried off on somebody's shoulders.
Hey, ease up, coach.
That nice.
Did, all right, at the end of every, episode they have like real footage. What was
that? Was the real
footage?
That's what he was talking
about. That was the real footage.
The real footage is then actually they played a game out there, and then another the B plot for the show was that Beverly Goldberg had designed Preston, and so you're watching the episode, and she wants to get in on the QVC thing, so she takes on these jean jackets. I'm gonna sew on all these things. Like sometimes with static cling, like a glove will end up on the jacket. She goes, I'll do that. So she creates these hideous jackets. At the end, they have Wendy McLevin Covey sitting there with Beverly, and you think this was just a conceit done for. It really happened.
It was real.
They had one of the jackets there she had done, and it was
awesome.
It was worse.
Oh my God,
that's
Adams!
Awesome.
He took his family's life. And he's made
what a history to mine from. I mean, yeah. There's so much material.
But I mean, and she's sitting there, and it's what cracks me up is it's almost like we're being allowed to. This family's our family in a way, because that's such a thrill to watch this thing. And it's hilarious in the story, and then it actually happened. And she says, "Did you sell any of them to her?" And she says, "Not a one."
All right, here's the last clip I'll play. This is Mike Quick and when he jumped in.
I've been knocked unconscious.
Coach, Goldberg says he's unconscious even though he's talking.
You okay, Goldberg?
Just a little unconscious, Coach.
Hey, just thought of something. Do you have any of those Fig Newtons? They always perk me back up. A lot of athletes don't know this, but the Newton is a power food.
Power food, Goldberg.
Get off the damn field.
I'll handle this.
Yeah, we're handling it, assistant coach Fast. Or should I just say assistant?
Oh, hell no.
Okay, walk away, Ike. All right, starters, line up. Let's move those chains.
Assistant coach Fast.
Fast instead of Quick.
And his name was Ike. Ike Fast?
Yeah. Newtons.
Newtons.
Oh, my God. Newtons.
And he did the Barry run last night with his hands behind his... so many people are now catching on to the show because it's in syndication, but A, it's hilarious, but anybody who has any knowledge of this area is just going to love it.
By the way, Melissa Joan Hart apparently directed that. Somebody tweeted
it. Is that right?
Texted it in, yeah.
Well done.
Kevin Smith was supposed to do one, remember? But he was talking about that in the video that he made when he had the heart attack. So, all right. Barry. We're watching montages of Barry running away. Oh, my God. That was too funny. All right. We have to do the lesson question. I got to move over to that right now. The lesson question, we're going to give away tickets to the Femmes of Rock at Parks Casino. And the question I have for you is this. Which gay actor was also a singer in the Doobie Brothers? 215-263-WMMR. I don't know if he's a gay actor, but his character.
That's how I wrote it.
On this thing is supposed to be gay. Which gay actor is also a singer in the Doobie Brothers? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by the Philadelphia Flyers. Make your next Flyers game a Yingling night out. Starting just $50, this offer gets you a game ticket, 24-ounce beer, and more. Shop now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Lisa Marie Presley has been ordered to pay her estranged husband, Michael Lockwood, $100,000 to cover his divorce lawyers. The 56-year-old struggling musician Lockwood says he will have more than enough money once he develops talent and the ability to write songs.
My God.
Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom seem to confirm rumors that they're back together again after being seen taking a long and romantic walk in Prague on Wednesday. Said Bloom, quote, "I have a girthy penis."
Oh, wow. Wow.
He never misses a chance, does he?
Good.
And finally, Kylie Jenner saying that despite having a house staff, she wants to be hands-on and taking care of her newborn daughter, Stormy. Kylie says she wants it to be her hands that pushes the nanny button on the intercom.
That's your hard one. All righty. We will see if you know the answer to this question. Which gay actor was also a singer in the Doobie Brothers? 215-263-WMMR. Hello there, Peter. How you doing?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I got through. I'm good. How are you guys?
You are good. You made it through. Tell me which gay actor was also a singer in the Doobie Brothers?
This is Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald, that's correct. Hang on just a second, dude. Since you got it right, we are going to give you tickets to Femmes of Rock starring Bella Electric String Sunday, March 18th at the brand new Excite Center and Parks Casino. Performing the music of Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Pink Floyd, and much more. Tickets start at just $25. On sale now at parkscasino.com. Must be 21 or older to win.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
You're a real crumb bun.
It's brought to you by, once again, the Philadelphia Flyers. Make your next Flyers game a Yingling night out. Starting just $50, this offer gets you a game ticket, a 24-ounce beer, and more. Shop now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. Godsmack has set When Legends Rise as the title of its first album in 4 years, due out April 27th. The band has also shared the first single from the LP called Bulletproof, posting the track online and sending it to radio stations nationwide. An official music video for the track is coming soon. Asked what inspired the songs on When Legends Rise, from Anselmo explained it was just about evolving as a songwriter. I wanted to stretch my wings out even further to use all the experiences I've had with writing different types of music over the years and applying that to find a way to introduce a newer, fresher, more mature sound, but still maintaining the power of Godsmack. So, new music out. Stone Temple Pilots guitarist Dean DeLeo said in a new interview, the band would have called it quits if it hadn't found the right singer to secede the late Scott Weiland and Chester Bennington. DeLeo explained, if we didn't find that person that we felt could move forward with, we ultimately would have put a fork in it. But that person turned out, of course, to be Jeff Gutt, with DeLeo saying that there was no room for error. And that's why we spent nearly a year together with Jeff before we invited him to join the band. We wanted to make sure that it was the right decision, but we didn't find somebody But we did find somebody who could not only do the catalog of our previous songs justice, but someone who could write new songs with us, too. Gut, first album with the band, a self-titled effort, and STP 7th overall is due out on March 16th, so it's coming. DeLeo said the band intends to initially play two new songs on its upcoming tour. As of now, I don't know if they expand after a while or not.
I'm looking forward to seeing them and with him, and I think what we've heard, he's doing a damn good job.
Yep. James Hetfield of Metallica and his wife, Francesca, have turned over 1,000 acres of land as open space to the Marin Agricultural Land Trust in Marin County, California, after the County Board of Supervisors approved the deal on Tuesday. The Hetfields first donated 440 acres of their property, known as the Rocking H Ranch, to the county in 2005, then followed that with another 330 acres in 2009.
How much do they have?
Another 240 acres will be given over the had been given over last fall, totaling just over 1,000 acres that will essentially remain open space in perpetuity.
Wow.
You know what, Steve? I had a total here. He purchased 1,150 acres in Lucas Valley in 1999. The property is rural, rolling hills about 6 miles southwest of downtown San Rafael. It's not far from the George Lucas Skywalker Ranch. Did they name the Lucas Valley after him?
I think so.
Wow. The Hetfields and their three children actually moved to Vail, Colorado in 2016, with James saying in an interview that he was, quote, sick of the attitudes of the people in the Bay Area.
It's right next to Jim J. Bullockville.
So he's gone. And then finally, Keith Richards said that Mick Jagger was due for a vasectomy. Then once the quote went viral, walked it back with a public apology. Back in December 2016, the now 74-year-old Jagger became a father for the eighth time when his then 29-year-old girlfriend, ballerina Melanie Hamrick, gave birth to his fourth son, Devereaux.
And then he dumped her and moved on to another girlfriend.
Yeah, Richards spoke about Jagger becoming a father again at an advanced age during a chat with Wall Street Journal magazine and said, "Mix a Randy, old bastard. It's time for the snip. You can't be a father at that age. Those poor kids." Once the quote went viral, Richards set a new precedent by publicly apologizing to Jagger.
And it never happens.
By tweeting, "I deeply regret the comments I made about Mick in the Wall Street Journal.
I don't accept your apology."
Which were completely out of line. And he said, "I have, of course, apologized to him in person.
My jingle's none of your business."
During his chat, Richards touched upon his lifelong relationship with Jagger, explaining, "Mick and I live off of this fire between us. It's been up and downhill. But if I'm talking about the Rolling Stones, there ain't a front man like Jagger. Don't matter how many bones you want to pick out of him, he's amazing to work with."
I mean, he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong at all. Yeah.
We can stand by that statement and really be okay.
But it is wild that he publicly apologized as quickly as he did.
Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in Music News this morning. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment, and we'll get ready to wrap the whole thing up. Letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. See what's cooking with Pierre. And get you set for the Cardboard Classic, which is tomorrow. We'll be back in just a second.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We are the Preston and Steve Show, about ready to wrap up today's broadcast as of now before we take all the equipment. Actually, all the equipment's up there. Rodney and company from our engineering department and our promotions gang, as we speak, are at Jack Frost Mountain. I assume they're there, and they definitely get started today, and they're working on all day long, getting up all the remote broadcast and all the various things that need to be in place for our Cardboard Classic and Day Off on the Slopes tomorrow at Jack Frost Mountain.
Yeah, because we finish the show, and we go out onto the slope, and Pierre's out there as well doing his show, cutting it.
Yeah. I'm going to be leaving. I'm just a few hours. I'm going to head up there. And
are you?
Nice. Kind of get in place and, get ready, hunker down. Maybe go by Shenanigans. I don't know. Marissa and I are going to get a bite to eat this evening, and we'll see about where that ends up taking us. Yes, Marissa?
We never asked our question.
What was our question?
Are there Ubers up there right now?
Damn it. I meant to. Well, like years ago, when we first started doing, it might have been the first year we did the Cardboard Classic, I was talking to our account executive, Paula, who is Jack Frost is our account. And I said, I'll come over to Shenanigans. I'll just I'll grab a cab and head back to the condo or wherever we're staying. She goes, Preston, this is the Poconos. You're not going to get a cab. They don't there aren't any cabs there. You're not going to find any.
Right.
And so Marissa was like, well, if we go out and have a few drinks, you know, maybe we can just catch an Uber. And I'm like, yeah, but do they have them out there?
Maybe they do.
I don't
Rural
know.
Rural Uber.
If you get a ride there, I'll give you a ride home.
Listen, I'm sure. Oh, thank you. I'm sure that people do Uber in that area, offer that service. But, you know, how many are there? I mean, it's just not a whole lot, I would imagine. So,
sure, I'll come get you. Where you at?
So text us, email us, call right now if you want, and let us know if...
Why don't we just put
in the address?
If you've
used an Uber in that. What's that?
Let's just put it in. See if it works. See if there's somebody there.
You with the radio?
Wait, no, don't. It'll want to come here to get you and take you there.
Yeah, but I'll enter the address there. Go ahead. Go on, and I'll see if I can get
Kathy's
one.
Kathy's doing research.
Move along now.
Move along.
Old Frozen Cooter's up to it.
It's Cold Cooter.
No, Cold Cooter. I'm sorry.
Let Cold Cooter go.
No, that was it. That's her sidekick.
Marissa?
Kathy, we're on the same page. If we were to get one right now from Split Rock Lodge to Shenanigans, it would take 18-minute wait.
Oh, mine's 14 minutes.
Okay.
Oh,
that's not bad at all.
That's not bad. Okay. All right,
yeah,
so it's possible.
So that does add a whole new realm of possibility. You can actually... Both you and Marissa could get totally tanked.
Yeah.
How much?
Yes.
Under $20.
Under $20?
Okay, yep. Marissa.
I'll go for half.
And the little dollar toll guy's gone.
The dollar toll guy as you pull into the,
That's not there anymore?
It's not there anymore.
Wow. Okay.
It'd be wild if tomorrow morning, Preston, as you start to roll over to get ready to go over the show, your hand brushes against Marissa's hair.
Oh, my God. I blame Uber for this.
Well, it was Jackie Bam Bam.
Oh, my God. Did we just make love? I noticed a hole in the back of my stretch pants.
Oh.
There's always a hole in the back of his pants.
There always is.
So that's tomorrow. Anyway, let me thank Vysika Hema for being here this morning. Vy is the biggest class act in this city, man. Love that
just
guy.
Just like us.
And they need more foster parents in the Philadelphia area. It says children and youth and NBC. It says wait.
It's DHS, the City of Philadelphia Department of Human Services,
okay,
and
you.
NBC 10. They've teamed up, so they're doing the phone bank on NBC 10 today from 4 to 6:30, and they basically have 20 experts or professionals in the field who can answer any questions that you might have about becoming a foster parent. Because a lot of times people are interested in it and then they don't really know where to start.
Right.
So this is the perfect example. You can just give a call and they'll answer any questions you have, and if you want to, you know, do something like this, they'll help you get started.
Yep, and they really need some parents to help out with this, so that's why Vi came by today. Tom Green was on the show today. Tom's at Helium Comedy Club. One show tonight, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday, so it was great to see him. And also Chris Porter came by.
Yes!
And Chris is a Punchline in Philly. One show tonight, 2 Friday and 2 Saturday as well. PunchlinePhilly.com to get those tickets. Pierre Robert is here in our studio. Hey, man!
We have so much in this city that's so cool. Not only, you know, in terms of rock and roll, we have 2 comedy clubs that people can go to, maybe even more for that matter. So that's awesome. And, of course, you guys reflect it, which is nice.
Thanks.
And I just got this from the Weather Center. It looks like it's going to be sunny and 61 degrees.
That's amazing.
Tomorrow, yeah.
The temperature's a little too warm, but...
51 degrees.
51 degrees.
49.
Do you know that it's been shifting, though? It actually has been shifting to more of a potential snow scenario,
yep,
which would serve us well.
Well, now you had mentioned that earlier, and I'm curious, how does that serve us well? It's still wet on cardboard, right?
Well, the snow coming down is, you know, it's adding more to the course and everything. At least it's not a driving rain. It's now storm wind.
The snow will be good for the actual run when the cardboard comes down the hill. So that's what we hope.
Okay.
We'll be good.
And we're going rain or shine.
Rain or shine.
It's happening.
Okay. And we have those nice folks who help us recycle the cardboard.
Yep.
Who are there. They're going to be there. And they're going to have a really big job cleaning up.
They do a phenomenal job.
No, so we'll need everybody to chip in if they can.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in the official email that's going out, Eric Simon is literally asking the participants, help out one another. You know what? When your run is done, come back and then help other people and get it to the Mascaro trucks and help clean off the mountain as quickly as possible so that the next guy can go, the next team can go.
Because were we running more than 2 hills in the past,
or two?
We've usually kept it to two. Okay. But we had others as options if one got too tore up.
Got it.
Which does happen from time to time, depending on the snow conditions. So we would have other ones that we could move on to. This time around, we just have two. And they had to move the snow over there and, and you know, sculpt it and make it runnable, so we thank them for all the extra work that they put in.
Yeah, I saw pictures of it. It looks very good, though.
It does look good, and the fact snowboarding and skiing will be on for tomorrow, so if you have your ticket, you bought your ticket early and got your discount, come up and take advantage of it.
It's going to be a fun day, and it's never quite the same time, any given time we've done it, so it's going to be unusual. It's going to be fun no matter what happens. Fun will be the key word.
Fun, yeah,
most definitely. Hey, let's get the letter of the day.
Zuba.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
We're going so fast.
Bear just looks at me, just shrugs.
Zuba.
The Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
R as in Rip Roarin'.
All right. And we'll have a Rip Roarin' time tomorrow. And also at the MMRBQ, we're going to have a 4-pack of pit tickets for you to win for Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion. We give them away tomorrow. It's part of MMR's 50th birthday concert series featuring Alice in Chains, Ghost, Stone Temple Pilots, Jonathan Davis from Korn, the record company, Dorothy Radke, and Jackson's Local Shots alumni in the presence of Wolves. Tickets start at just $35. Complete details at WMMR.com. What do you have in store for today, my man?
Action-packed.
Yeah.
We will have cool workforce blocks, including the Kinks. Does it get any better? God, they're so amazing. We'll have Alice Cooper in the workforce blocks. We've got Bon Jovi, a star of our MMR birthday show, May 3rd, in our birthday celebration over the course of this year. And we will have the vinyl cut and much, much more.
Excellent. Hey, I'd like to give a special shout-out and a good luck to our friend Christian, who is sitting here in our studio. He's getting heart surgery tomorrow.
Yes.
Wow. And he wanted to come into the show before he went to go get his heart operated on.
Do I need a cigarette, Christian?
No.
He's going to do great.
Smoke with me?
But he's in good spirits, and he thinks you know good things about the procedure. Tomorrow.
He's taking the bus there. He lives in Philly, and he's having it done downtown, so he's just going to get on the bus, go get the procedure done, be in the hospital for a few days, and then go home happy and healthy.
But somebody has to pick you up. You can't.
Yeah, Piers.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember that?
Yeah, no, that's right. I signed up for
that. You signed up for it.
That new ride service you have called Zuba?
Yeah. Zuba. It's called Zuba.
Yep.
By the way, I'll also have another awesome MM Archive selection at 1:30 from the vaults of the MM Archives that'll be played again with Jackson at 5:30 and with Jackie Bam Bam at 9:30.
Excellent. Let me thank the sponsors. Preston Steve Show has been brought to you today by the Atlantic City Boat Show. Don't miss the Atlantic City Boat Show. ACBoatShow.com for more information. And the show's also brought to you today by Sergeant Scrap. Attention, tradesmen, don't take crap for your scrap. Learn more at sergeantscrap.com. That's sgt-scrap.com. Tomorrow,
love that one.
Yeah, it is a good one. Tomorrow, obviously, the Cardboard Classic is what we have on our plate, and we'll have some guests on the program as well. But don't forget, while you're there, you can get the Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic long sleeve shirt that's on sale at the Tubing Hut and the check-in area, $20 each. And it comes with a free Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic cowbell, which you'll be able to ring during the event. And we just want you to have safe travels up there. And tomorrow morning, same thing. Be safe. Have fun. We will see you then. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. And bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
422 makes me so blue. I get so bored of my shoe.
Next message.
Somewhere in Philadelphia. Somebody took off work and is now penning the screenplay for Frozen 2, Cold Cooter, so that they can send it off to Pornhub or Silicon Valley. Looking forward to it.
Next message.
Man wearing makeup? You don't like how you look? Grow a damn beard!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line. Call 484-434-1333. MMR rocks. Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.